McDonald's. I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, light rain, drizzle, likely late morning, then a chance for showers or isolated thunderstorms by this afternoon. The high should be around 80. This evening, partly cloudy skies, low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then Thursday, partly sunny skies, a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under drizzle, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting drizzle and light rain and 70 degrees. Stay tuned now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorist to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA. Content to watch the World Series from home, or would you rather be part of the action? Just visit www.ala.org/baseball by September 9th to find out how you can join the major leagues at your library. The baseball trivia game that could win you a free trip to the 2005 Major League Baseball World Series. Brought to you by the American Library Association, Major League Baseball, and the Major League Baseball Players Association. Summer has officially begun, and warmer weather can mean danger for your cats and dogs. The ASPCA has issued a pet safety advisory urging pet owners to protect their companion animals during the sweltering summer days. The organization offers these guidelines as a way to keep pets safe in the temperatures begin to rise. Keep your dog or cat well-groomed, as a clean coat can help to prevent summer skin problems. Never take an animal to the beach unless you can provide a shaded spot and plenty of fresh water for him or her to drink. Never leave your pet standing on hot asphalt. Bring your companion animal to the vet for a spring or early summer checkup, including a test for heartworm, if your dog is not on year-round preventive medication. And to prevent escape or accidental falls, make sure all windows in your home are properly screened. The ASPCA has provided national leadership in humane education for over a century and has over 1 million supporters today. Visit ASPCA.org for more information.
You've heard it since the day you were born.
Someday you'll go to college.
And as you grew, you began to believe what you heard.
You could be anything you want to be.
Until it became something you couldn't ignore.
I can be a teacher.
I can run my own company.
I can change my career.
Now there's a place that can help you reach your dream. College Zone. CollegeZone.com, powered by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, is the trusted source for college information. You could go to college. Visit CollegeZone.com.
I have 3 children, and I've been raising my 16-year-old sister.
Mary Gallagher and her family shared a 2-bedroom apartment with 8 people. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping her build a simple, decent, affordable home of her own.
When we first found out that we were getting a Habitat home, it was like a dream. I kept saying, don't anybody wake me up.
Not only is Mary helping build her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable.
Habitat came out and built my home. And when Mary started building her house, I wanted to come out and give a hand.
We're not just building Mary's house, we're building a neighborhood.
There's several more to be built this year, and I look forward to working on each of their houses and seeing the joy of their face when they open the door to their brighter future.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit Habitat.org.
I feel very blessed. God has answered all of my prayers. We are home.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri 63108.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. One in every eight births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies by funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
If you think it's hot now, just wait till next Tuesday. A 3-hour wake-up call special dealing with the racial divisiveness in the St. Louis Fire Department. Liz Brown will examine why the Black Firefighters Organization was formed, which is a story in itself, and why they're shying away from merging with their white counterparts. Do they need each other? This will be the first time that these two organizations have talked about their positions in a public forum. To gain a full understanding about the City Fire Department's internal struggles, be dial side to the wake-up call next Tuesday morning from 6 to 9 for one of the most provocative discussions you have ever heard.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
If all these people don't want George W. Bush would be telling us
about the talking about. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
At 29, I'm probably a little young to fit your image of a veteran in a wheelchair. But the war in Iraq, like all wars, is taking its toll on our young men and women in uniform. I became paralyzed when the vehicle I was riding in turned over.
Jason came home to an intensive care unit, and we faced a bureaucratic nightmare just to get the services he needed. Thank goodness Paralyzed Veterans of America was there. They said, you focus on your rehabilitation and we'll take care of the rest.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has fought to ensure that our spinal cord injured veterans receive all the care they have earned. PVA also advocates for accessibility and civil rights for all people with disabilities and sponsors research to find a cure for paralysis.
Life is full of new challenges for our family.
Thank you, PVA, for helping us meet them.
Call 1-866-USA-4-PVA.
I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 12 years old. I was bored and I thought drugs would be exciting.
I stopped doing drugs because I was shy. I wanted to fit in.
I thought using drugs was a good way of dealing with stress.
My parents must have told me a million times,
don't do drugs, you know, they'll ruin your life.
Now I know what they all meant.
People often begin using drugs as a solution to a problem. Eventually, the drug use itself becomes a much greater problem. Call Narcanon Arrowhead today at 1-800-468-6933.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
It's a scorching hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for your power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many
or denied.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 4540400 is the phone number. Now, if you want to check out the website, I encourage you to do so this morning. I encourage you to do so because we are going to be talking about some amazing things today. Today is going to be a very exciting day on the wake-up call. We're talking about a story that is really a national story. It's really a story about who this country is and what this country is about. It's a story that, while originating, the specifics of it originate here in the city of St. Louis. It's a story that reverberates all across this country. So you need to fasten your seatbelts this morning because we're going to be doing amazing things as we talk about the issue of black firefighters and the challenges that they have been confronted with and the stories that they have to tell. The first hour this morning, we're going to be talking to Joseph P. Hughes. He became a firefighter in the city of St. Louis in the year 1949. In the second hour, we're going to be doing something that heretofore has never happened in the city of St. Louis. The wake-up call is going to be talking to the president of the White Firefighters Association about our relationships and their positions and their understandings. And then in the next hour, we're going to be doing something again that has never been done in the city of St. Louis, and that is we're going to be talking to both Black Firefighters Association and the White Firefighters Association. They're going to be here in the studio discussing their issues. So we have amazing things that are going on in the city of St. Louis today and all across this world. I want to start with welcoming. I have with me in the studio this morning Joseph P. Hughes. Mr. Hughes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fair to middling, as the old folks say.
All right, fair to middling. That's a good place to start. Mr. Hughes, you became a firefighter in 1949?
Yeah, that's a little while ago.
Yes, it is a little while ago. Talk to us about what made you decide to become a firefighter in 1949?
Well, the only good job for blacks in 1949 was police, firemen, and teachers. Mm-hmm. And we only had a certain amount that could get on that job because there's only a few jobs left for blacks, as we call them. So I had been in the Army overseas, and I come home, and that was about the best job you could get. So I put in for the fire department, police department, post office, and teaching.
So when you put in for the firefighters back in 1949, what did you have to do?
for you to take an examination, and if you passed and was up on the two-thirds of the top list, where you were chosen inside of 2 years.
And when you took the test, was it an oral? What kind of test was it?
A written test.
So, you, how old were you in 1949? Approximately.
Let me see, I was about, I was born in 1919, so that meant that I was in 49, about 32 years old.
So you had fought in the war?
Yeah.
And you came back and you applied for the firefighter's position. Were there a lot of black men like yourself that were applying for these jobs?
No, not at that time, because most of the blacks didn't think they could pass the examination. Because, you know, blacks didn't have the incentive to try to get good jobs, because most of the time we were turned down. You know, you'd be underqualified or overqualified.
So what happened when you took the exam, after you took the exam?
Well, like I said, I took all four of the exams, the police, firemen, post office, and teachers, and I was going with whichever one called first, and the fire department happened to call first.
So what was it like when you, how did you get the call? What did they say to you?
Well, they sent me a letter, a report down to the training school.
Now, do you think they knew that you, were black when you when they sent you the letter and told you that you had passed?
Oh, yeah, they know, at least they knew blacks from white then when you put, when you filled out your paper, because, see, they'd always put a C on the paper of a black man. We were colored then.
So they put the letter C on there so they knew exactly what color they were, what color you were.
Right.
And we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We are talking to Joseph P. Hughes, and we're talking about the fire department back in 1949, and we've got a little bit ways to go. So stay with us, folks. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. My number here is 454-0400. Get to me. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun. Even when the darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
It's real sun. Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Westbound 40 between 5570 split all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Illinois Bank onto Memorial Drive. Everything is on the move. Northbound 270 from 55 all the way up to Big Bend. Everything is on the move there. Westbound or eastbound 44 between Valley Park all the way into 270. Everything is on the move there. Eastbound 40 from the Daniel Boone Bridge all the way to 270. No problems to report there as well. Westbound 270 from the Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into 170. Everything is on the move there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Light rain or drizzle likely late this morning, then a chance for showers and a possible isolated thunderstorm by this afternoon with a high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy once again with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions with rain, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71 and clouds with rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Did you know that one unspayed female cat can produce 36 cats in just 1.5 years? Every year, millions of animals are euthanized in animal shelters, and millions more are abandoned to die on the streets. The good news is that all of these deaths can be prevented with spaying and neutering. Altering animals also prevents deadly cancers and other diseases. Make an appointment to get your animal friend spayed or neutered today. For more information, please call 757-622-PETA or visit helpinganimals.com. Thank you.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, April 14th, 2004. When I hear talk about anti-Americanism, it angers me. Why does America identify itself with its military and government? Why does being anti-Bush and anti-occupation have to mean that a person is anti-American? We watch American movies, listen to everything from Britney Spears to Nirvana, and refer to every single brown fizzy drink as Pepsi. I hate American foreign policy and its constant meddling in the region. I hate American tanks in Baghdad and American soldiers on our streets and in our homes on occasion. Why does that mean that I hate America and Americans? Are tanks, troops, and violence the only face of America?
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution@lizbrown.com. And I am talking this morning to Joseph P. Hughes. Joseph P. Hughes was a firefighter starting in 1949. And welcome back, Mr. Hughes. You passed the test. They called you in. What happened after that?
Well, we had to go down to 12th and Spruce, where the training school was. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go through training for 2 weeks. And
how many black people were there when you were training?
Only two blacks.
And did they have the colored and the white signs up then?
Oh, they didn't have them in the firehouse, but... Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, you'd run into a blacks here, you know, and especially in the restrooms, mm-hmm. you have to go one side be for black and the other side be for white. Like mm-hmm. on the buses, you know, they had a line drawn across the bus in the two seats from the rear. And all the blacks had to get behind that line.
And that was here in St. Louis?
Here in St. Louis.
Here in St. Louis. So what was the training like?
Well, it was, the training was fine. You know, you learn how to fight fire. Mm-hmm. That is, put up ladders, hook up a hose to sand pipes and sprinkler systems. And it was a nice, informative school.
What was it like being only one of two black folks in a all-white fire department?
Well, it's like they always try to tell me, this is democratic. See, you got black and white.
So two meant democratic?
Yeah.
Two. And how many other firefighters were there?
Well, it was about, in the first house I went to, we had an all-black house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the 28th on Vanderbilt and,
mm-hmm.
and Enright.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 15 blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And now we had 21 altogether, but mm-hmm. it was about 15 at a daisy because you had a hook and ladder and a pumper were both in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to go there. Mm-hmm. Every black firefighter went to that house.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always do our work together. And then any time they had a multiple alarm fire, well, 28th was always, they was always going to it.
Mm.
Because, they figured that we were the best firefighters for a big fire.
So there were, about how many black firefighters were there back in 1949, about?
About 23, I think it was.
And they were all in one house?
All in one house.
And now, did you have a captain over the house?
Yeah, we had the captains.
Was the captain black or white?
Yeah, we had black captains in the old black house.
Okay, so what was it like? You were also members of the were you members of the fire union, firefighters union?
Well, that's where we had to split. When I come in the fire department, see, they gave a picnic every year,
mm-hmm.
and they would take $2,000 to have a picnic at Excelsior Springs up near Kansas City.
Now, this was the firefighters union. When
yeah.
you first joined the fire department, though, you were a part of the union, right?
Well, you were supposed to join the union.
Okay.
But see, when I come in and we were talking about having a picnic, and I was talking to the shop steward, Claiborne Gardine, and he told me, no, we never went to the picnics mm-hmm. because they didn't give it a place that was no blacks allowed.
What do you mean, no blacks allowed?
Well, the picnic place where they gave the picnic, they had a big sign up there, no, well, I use the N-word, no N's allowed.
At the place where the picnic took place, there was a sign that said, no niggas allowed.
Right. And so I said, well, how can they do that? And we're supposed to be a union. And
were you paying dues? Were you a member then?
No, I never joined the union.
Okay.
See, I came in and they were saying we couldn't come to the picnic. So I said, well, if I can't go to the picnic, that means it's not a union.
So did you talk to the union about this?
Yeah, that's what I told them. I was going to the meeting and see why we couldn't come, because I had children too.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked to play, run,
mm-hmm.
jump.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went. When I said I was going to go down, another fireman, black fireman, just come on. His name was George Turner. And he said, well, if you got nerve to go down there and talk to them folks, I'll go with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland Gardine, he was the shop steward for the blacks. So he said, well, I'll have to go too. So we three of us went down, and we sat through the whole meeting, and they never mentioned the picnic.
Mm-hmm.
So then they got ready to adjourn, and I just jumped up and said, hold it. I said, I come down to talk about the picnic. And they said, well, what you got to talk about? I said, well, they tell me that blacks can't come. They said, yeah. We give you all $5 a piece, and you can have your own picnic. So I said, well, that isn't fair. I said, because you can't, if we got 20 members, that's $100. You can't have a picnic for all our children and buy sodas and hot dogs and all that for them and on $5. I said, and we don't want to be going to a union picnic and nobody there but us. And nothing, none of the gratuities that y'all get. So they said, well, that's the way we do it. I said, well, I don't think it's right. I said, if we're supposed to be a union, that means we got a weak link. So one of the firemen jumped up and said...
And tell us what this fireman looked like. I want the audience to get a real good sense of what he looked like, what the firefighter looked like that jumped up.
Oh, he was a big old fellow. We were about 250, I guess, and I was wearing 126, and he jumped up and said...
Well, what did he have on? I want folks to really get to be able to imagine what this exchange looked like.
Well, he had on those old bib overalls, you know, you pull the straps over your shoulder. He had on those bib overalls that you pull the strap over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one hooked fast, and the other one was hanging down in the back, and
mm-hmm.
he jumped up and said, well... What do you think one little nigger can do to keep us from...
This is a firefighter. This is a big old firefighter.
Right. And he's telling me, and so George Turner, he was kind of wild. He wanted to jump up and cut him.
Because he wasn't carrying his knife with him.
Yeah, he had his knife. But I told him, older, you can't do that. I said, ain't but three of us and 50 of them, and you talk about fighting?
With a knife.
Yeah. I said, put that thing away and listen. So the guy, I said, well, you asked me what can one little firefighter do. I was thinking fast. I said, well, I don't know what the rest of them can do, but I know what this little firefighter can do. I said, see, now you hollering about what can I do? I said, you must have heard of the NAACP and I named off about five or six organizations
mm-hmm.
that we have,
mm-hmm.
and I know that the NAACP can pick up the telephone and talk right to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so evidently you don't know that we have a little power too. I said, but we aren't going to come in here trying to run your things. I said, we'll just take and bow out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, see, because as long as I stay in the fire department, I'll never pay any dues because, see, you got a weak link. And a union is only as strong as its weakest link. And I'm your weak link. And I said, and I know you said, what can I do? I said, I'll tell you, I won't pay any dues as long as I'm in this fire department. And I'm going to stay 20 years before I retire. And I don't care what you say. I'm going to do whatever the chief or the captains tell me to do. I'm going to jump to it. I said, but I'm not going to get fired. I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to retire until my time is up. And in 20 years, your members look around and see that one little end standing over there getting everything that you get and don't pay a nickel and dues. Then they're going to start squabbling and talking. And you're going to wish that little end had been in the union. I said, but more than that, when they find out that I've stayed in the fire department for 20 years, then they're going to want to make us pay dues. And... Then, if it happened before my 20 years is up, you'll have to pay me to be in the union. You see, look at all these years that I was unprotected by the union. I said, so we'll have to square off for the punishment I went through.
And what year was that?
That was in 1949.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. I am talking to Joseph P. Hughes, a firefighter in 1949. We're going to be talking firefighter stuff all morning long. Stay with us.
There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine love the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Washington. Insiders say the recent firing of General Kevin Burns on charges of sexual misconduct was the culmination of a plan by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to get rid of him for the last 3 years. General Burns was relieved of command as head of Training and Doctrine Command after he was accused of having an affair with an enlisted female. At the time it was said to have taken place, he was legally separated from his wife. He was less than 6 months away from retiring with full benefits. There have only been two other four-star officers in military history that have been fired for misconduct. It is known that he had a long-running feud with Secretary Rumsfeld, who did not consider him a good team player for his defense strategy. The issue hit the fan when it recently surfaced that the general was heading a coalition of some 40 high-ranking officers who do not want to be a part of the administration's plan to become engaged in a nuclear conflict with Iran. In other words, it was to send a clear message to either get with the program or get out. This is your wake-up call global news update. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. I am talking to Joseph P. Hughes, a private in the fire department in 1949, talking about a prediction. I think you know, I can almost call you like a prophet. Based on what you said was going to happen as a result of you not joining the union. You said that you were going to get every single thing that they got.
Everything.
And how did that work out?
Well, see, that wasn't a union job. That mm-hmm. was a civil service job.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you got the job, you was entitled to all the privileges and whatever that any other fireman got.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took advantage of that and stayed in there.
How did the other black firefighters in your engine house, were they part of, had they joined the union?
Well, the old firemen that were on when I came on, see, we had some black firemen that came on in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the captains in the black engine house. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't get out of the union because they were scared they might get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I told them like I told them, and then they were telling me about it. And she scared you're going to get fired. I said, well, I'll have to look for a job like I did when I got this one.
And were there other black firefighters that did what you did?
All the young ones.
All the young ones
All
did?
The ones that came in there,
mm-hmm.
or just before me and after me.
Did you lose your job?
No, but I got suspended for a month, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Was it right after you made that announcement that you weren't going to join the union?
No, this was 16 years later.
Oh. Okay, let me get to one of the callers here. Alonzo.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning to you, Liz.
Good morning.
As well as my elderly guest there on your show. Hey, you just answered my question because I was wondering, was there any black firefighters before 1949? And who was the first black firefighter on the scene in the neighborhood? And thank you and God bless.
Thank you so much. So when was the first black firefighter?
Well, I'm not exact, but I think it was Captain Claude Johnson. He mm-hmm. became a fireman in 1904.
Mm-hmm. And what year did you retire?
1979.
So you were there when fire got started?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was that like? I mean, given what you had said in 1949, had you envisioned creating your own organization? Had you thought about that back in 1949?
No, we didn't do that until we got integrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd put two blacks in an engine house with 30 whites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 50 on one day and 50 on the next day, and mm-hmm. then they put one black on each shift,
mm-hmm.
and they call that democratic integration.
Were you one of the firefighters that they put into the white firehouses?
Yeah, I went down to 10th and Delmar mm-hmm. at the time in the 41's engine company.
Mm-hmm. And what was that like?
Well, it was to me just like I've run into all my life. See, I went down to Alabama State to play to go to school and in Montgomery, Alabama, and I don't know whether any of you know what it is to be in Alabama in 1941.
Mm.
See, I went to school down there, and if you was coming down the street and some white folks coming, you had to get off the sidewalk and with the stem pass and get back home. But that's what the way life was then. You go to the show, you had to sit upstairs and have a big wide screen in front of you, you know. But those were the ways of life, and you had to take it like it come.
So what did you have to take when you were in the firehouse and you were the one of two black people in a white firehouse?
Well, when I first come in, they had a supper club. You couldn't eat in the supper club.
Mm.
And you always were there by yourself. You know, you didn't have nobody that would talk to you. So you had to, until later on, and he put a couple of more blacks in those engine houses. And
how long did that go? I mean, in the 1960s, did they still have the separate places for you to eat?
Oh, no, they changed after they had little altercations a couple of times with me because they wanted me to get up and make coffee for the chief. When I set the 2 o'clock watch, and so I'd make a great big pot, see, and then if it didn't taste right, I'd pour it out and make another pot, and they got on me about using so much coffee. I told them, well, we precious, and precious is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we had to quit making coffee for them. They
mm-hmm.
told me don't make no more coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all right with me.
So when fire started, were you one of the first people to sign up for?
No, I was a couple of days. They had a meeting before I joined because I was a busy little bee, you say, because I had to try to work. I had 6 kids, and I had to work another job because
mm-hmm.
we didn't make that much money back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I think we made $3,000 a year.
Mm.
And so I had another job, and I, when they started fire, they told them meeting. I couldn't make the meeting because I was working.
Mm-hmm.
But the second meeting I was there because, see, it started because one of the firemen was placed way down in South St. Louis. And he was a little smaller looking guy, and he was always talking about it. So he carried a big old knife around with him, and he got in a fight with one of them one day, and he bit the fireman, and so they wanted to. The next time they went out on a run, and he wasn't there, at least he was on his day off. They went out on a run, and it was raining, and one of the firemen came back with some muddy boots, and he walked across the boy's bed, and they gave him a suspension of 29 days for his bed being dirty. And so he called Baker, and Baker said, well, we'll have a meeting. And that's what started.
That started the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, Well, I want to thank you very much, Joseph P. Hughes. Thank you for joining us here on the Wake Up Call, and thank you for sharing this with us.
Oh, that's fine.
And this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be back with talking to the White Firefighters Organization. Stay with us. We got a whole lot more to come.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. There's breaking news this hour about a passenger jet crash in western Venezuela. ABC's Fernando Jauregui is in Caracas.
At this moment, the local authorities of civil aviation are searching by air and by land the site of the crash.
There were at least 152 passengers and crew aboard. The West Caribbean Airways jetliner was en route from Panama to Martinique. Coroners in Greece have begun an autopsy on the body of the co-pilot of the Cyprus airliner that crashed north of Athens Sunday. A Greek TV channel reports the autopsy shows the co-pilot was alive when the plane crashed. Crude oil futures are easing off a bit this morning, just above $66 a barrel, but that's still uncomfortably high. Oil prices have soared nearly $10 a barrel over the past 3 weeks, and gas prices have followed suit. In Los Angeles, Ed Garcia is car shopping and says he's going hybrid.
The price of gas keeps going up and up. Doesn't seem to be an end to that. And I just feel that I need to take a step to protect my pocket and protect the environment.
Gas prices have set a record, averaging $2.55 a gallon. The singing at the Nev Dekalim settlement may be peaceful, but the scene is not. Settlers who refuse to leave have formed a human chain face-to-face with Israeli soldiers who are trying to deliver eviction notices. ABC's John Donovan is there.
The Israeli soldiers are linked arm to arm, trying to create a wall like a human bulldozer to move the settlers out of the way. They are very gradually, a foot at a time, making their way up this street in bright, hot sunshine. Nobody throwing punches, no weapons, nothing like that, but it's just human body against human body.
Nev Dekalim is the largest settlement in the Gaza Strip. In 9 hours, Israeli troops begin spreading through the Gaza Strip and West Bank settlements, forcibly removing settlers. This is ABC News.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/getlive. That's Microsoft.com/getlive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a while.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
More than a month after the deadly bomb attacks in London, there's word that police and British intelligence never saw it coming.
Politicians here paid a lot of lip service about terrorism since 9/11, but as Home Secretary Charles Clarke concedes, the security services last month were totally blindsided. And although impressive numbers of cops bearing assault weapons are now on display at many subway stations in the capital, not a single person tied in with the deadly July 7th bombings has been charged. Clarke thinks throwing more money at the services will make them more effective. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
And once again, our top story this hour, there's been a plane crash in western Venezuela near the border with Colombia. There are at least 152 passengers and crew reported aboard. It was a West Caribbean Airlines flight from Panama to Martinique. The pilot reported engine trouble. No word yet about any survivors. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good
morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, as power restoration efforts continue throughout the St. Louis region, Ameren UE officials are turning their attention to ensuring that another massive power outage does not occur in this area. Tim Fox, a spokesperson for the utility company, says officials will investigate how things can be handled better in the event of a future outage. He notes that after a storm last year knocked out power in the St. Louis area, the company increased its tree trimming budget. Fox says keeping trees away from power lines is the best way to avoid having those lines knocked down during a storm. Students in the Collinsville School District go back to school today, but they could soon be out of the classroom again. Collinsville teachers voted overwhelmingly yesterday to reject a contract offer from the district, clearing the way for a 10-day notice of intent to strike. Teachers' union leaders say salary and health benefits are the key issues in the contract talks, which began in early spring. Attorney General Jay Nixon is suing a father and son for soliciting donations while claiming to represent police officers. The two men allegedly solicited donations through the Police Tribune, which was not registered as a professional fundraiser or charitable organization. Nixon says badge fraud will not be tolerated in Missouri.
Missourians give great support to law enforcement, but that goodwill should not be exploited by professional fundraisers to solicit donations through deceit. Pretending to be a police officer to obtain a donation is something we will not tolerate, particularly when the final destination of the donation is a mystery.
In addition to freezing the fundraising accounts of Gerald Lamai and his son Jay, Nixon has obtained a temporary restraining order against the two. Nixon is asking for preliminary and permanent injunctions against them and is seeking restitution for consumers and penalties for the state. A hearing on Nixon's request for an injunction is set for August 29. Finally this hour, Rams first-round draft pick Alex Barron has the first day of practice under his belt after a two-week holdout. However, Barron worked out yesterday at left tackle instead of right tackle in order to get comfortable with the Rams' offense. He will continue to work at left tackle for the foreseeable future because head coach Mike Martz is satisfied with Rex Tucker and Matt Willig on the right side. Offensive line coach John Matsko said he was pleased with Barron's toughness in yesterday's workouts and that Barron will compete for the starting right tackle spot once he gets up to speed. Barron is expected to play the entire second half in Sunday's preseason game at San Diego. The Rams return to the practice field this morning, but the workout is closed to the public. Rams cornerback Jeremetrius Butler is in the midst of seeking second opinions on his knee injury. Butler has a torn posterior cruciate ligament in his right knee and is trying to decide whether to have season-ending surgery. For now, Mike Martz considers DeJuan Gross to be the starter during Butler's absence. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Eckert's Peaches. Nothing says summer fun like peach picking at Eckert's. So bring the whole family to Eckert's for tractor rides, pick your own peaches, the fun corral, and more. For more information, go to Eckert's.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge, major road construction has two left lanes are closed until fall. There are no delays at this hour. Godfrey at Illinois 111, look for road construction crews are adding a bidirectional turn lane and lanes may be closed at various times throughout the day. In both directions, Illinois 157 between 64, look for road construction having down to one lane closed so you can expect delays. Natural Bridge is restricted to one lane in both directions over the Metro Lane tracks due to bridge work. Eastbound 40 between Blanchette Bridge all the way in and 270 is slow but moving well. Northbound 270 from 55 all the way to 270 looks good. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into Washington Elizabeth exit. Everything is on the move there. Eastbound 40 between 270 all the way into McKnight. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound 40 between 5570 split all the way onto the PSB. Everything is on the move. northbound Route 3 onto the PSB. Those ramps are starting to stack up this hour. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Cleeds Landing, you have some delays this hour due to rain. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer for schedule your maintenance tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly scheduled oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Light rain or drizzle till late morning, then a chance for showers and an isolated thunderstorm this afternoon. A high around 80 this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy once again with a low in the upper 60s. And Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees with rain. Lambert Field is reporting clouds, rain, and 72 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. This morning, we are taking a journey down the trail of the state of the St. Louis Fire Department. The state of fire departments really kind of across this country. I think one of the things that we see played out in firehouses all across this country is the issue of race. We see that happening all across this country, and we see a lot of the issues that people are confronted with here in St. Louis are the same types of issues that they are confronted with, firefighters are confronted with, all across this country. And joining me this morning to talk about this is the president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73, Paul Davis. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And welcome to the show. Paul, I want to start, because I know that you wanted to come on the show after you heard what we talked about. You heard Wayne Luster on the show, and you heard the president of FIRE on the show as well. And you wanted to come on and talk about a number of different issues. So I kind of want to begin with just a general type of question for you.
Okay.
It seems to me that prior, because the issue that is at hand here is really the issue of the existence of FIRE and the existence of Local 73. And it seems to me, and I want to make sure that I get my numbers correct on this, but it seems to me that the numbers as I understand it is that prior to the existence of FIRE, that's the Black Firefighters Association, that there was about one black battalion chief, and now there are 19. Prior to the existence of FIRE, there were about five captains, and now there are about 113 or so captains of African descent. Prior to the existence of this organization, there were no deputy chiefs, and now there are four. Prior to FIRE, there were about 50 black firefighters, and now there have been, since the existence of FIRE, 500. There were no black female, now there are about 11. Prior to the existence of FIRE, nobody filed any lawsuits about anti-affirmative action legislation. There's never been a black fire chief prior to FIRE, now there is. And there was never a lawsuit filed to get more black firefighters prior to the existence of FIRE. Now, my question is, given all of those stats, and given the fact that black firefighters make the same money as white firefighters, have the same benefits as white firefighters, what would be the benefit of a person joining Local 73, given those statistics and those facts?
Well, first of all, let me correct some of your statistics.
Okay.
The numbers that you gave, 115 captains, mm-hmm. that's what we have total, mm-hmm. black and white.
I was talking from 68 until now, from the creation of FIRE until now.
Well, your numbers bear out exactly what our total table of organization is. Mm-hmm. Our current table of organization is we have 115 captains, we have 19 battalion chiefs, and we have four deputy chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And I took your statistics as being that's what the current
Mm-mm.
number is.
No. My statistics
okay.
are before FIRE, after FIRE. So from the beginning of FIRE, from 1968 until now, those are the numbers that have occurred. Before FIRE, 50 black firefighters. After FIRE, as of today, we have 500, over 500. So I guess, my question is, what would be the benefit of a black firefighter joining Local 73, given those statistics?
The benefit for anyone being a member in Local 73
mm-hmm.
is the benefit that all employees have when they join a labor organization or a labor union,
mm-hmm.
and that is their strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
United we stand, divided we fall. The benefits and what Local 73 works for is wages, benefits, and working conditions. When we negotiate with the director of personnel and we get a pay raise, or when we go to Jeff City and to the Board of Aldermen to get a pension benefit, all firefighters on the St. Louis Fire Department benefit from the negotiating that Local 73 does.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon, in The Art of War, many generals study his tactics, and one thing that he used to his advantage was divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And in our instance, in my opinion, and many firefighters in St. Louis, we have divided ourselves, and we are allowing the city to conquer us because we are not standing united. The St. Louis Fire Department is a microcosm of the entire St. Louis metropolitan area. We have race problems in the city. We have race problems on the police department. We have race problems on the fire department. It's a microcosm of the whole city.
Okay.
I heard your guest in the 6 o'clock hour. I wasn't able to listen to the whole interview. But something that he said was the deplorable working conditions that African Americans had to live through and suffer throughout history from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And if you look at the fire, and that happened throughout this country. There's not a major metropolitan city in this country that didn't suffer the same similar situations, as deplorable as they are. The fact that we lived in a country that didn't allow African Americans to sit at the same table or eat at the same restaurants or use the same restrooms or drink from the same drinking fountains. The fact that this occurred in this country at all is appalling to me. This country went through some struggles. We went through the civil rights history of this country in the 40s, 50s, and 60s to get inclusion.
Well, let's talk about that just for a second here, because I understand the historical trip down memory lane here about how far this country has come, and how, you know, that there isn't there implicit in that is that, you know, we've moved beyond that. But again, I'm looking at the statistics of the things that black firefighters have gained since fire. It's because of a fire that a lawsuit was filed that there would be more black people represented on the fire department. The Local 73 didn't file that lawsuit. Local 73 would never file a lawsuit like that. So when you're asking black firefighters what advantage that they have to be part of your union didn't support a lawsuit that made certain that there were more black people represented on the fire department. So why would a person pay money to be part of an organization that does not advocate in their best interest? And when you talk about the history of the city of St. Louis and the racial issues, and you talk about him in terms of the past, I would like to direct your attention to this letter. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and I have it up on the website, and you can go to lizbrown.com and see a copy of this letter. We talk about the fact that this is a city that is divided. I'm looking at a letter that comes from the St. Louis Firefighters Association, your letterhead, although your name is not there because you weren't the president at the time, but the president is represented, the secretary treasurer, the president emeritus, the secretary emeritus, all of the bigwigs from Local 73, and it's a letter sent out to some of your members, because some members said that they didn't get the letter, but it's a letter, and I want to highlight the specific parts of this area. It's a letter about the election,
mm-hmm.
and it's a letter supporting candidates, and the language used in this letter on your letterhead is the north side will be out to vote, and it's talking about Irene J. Smith versus Francis Slay. The north side will be out to vote. We must get out and vote. Not voting at all is a vote for Irene. Now, you talk about the advantages to black people, black firefighters joining the Local 73, but you put out a letter that is divisive. You put out a letter that speaks of what the North Side is going to do, and everybody listening to the sound of my voice knows that North Side, we're talking about black people. So who is the we that we're talking about, and why is it that you would put out a letter that is as divisive as this and then expect black folks to want to be part of your organization?
We live in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. Public employees do not have collective bargaining rights.
Mm-hmm.
Private employees enjoy, they can sit down with their employer and they can formulate a contract that has the working conditions in it. In the state of Missouri, public employees don't have the same benefits. So we have to get a lot of our gains through the political process. from the president of the United States to members of the Board of Aldermen and every office in between. We take that very important in Local 73. And this letter was sent to the membership of Local 73. Mm-hmm. I've heard you talk about the recent election. Mayor Slayton received 25,000 votes. Mm-hmm. There was a sense before the election that there was a lot of apathy, that people were taking this election for granted. Mm-hmm. And any organization that supports candidates tries to rally the troops, organize their base, and get out the vote.
Absolutely.
And I believe that's what happened, and that is the context or the reason for the letter. It went to our membership, mm-hmm. and let me, one other thing. Mm-hmm. Our organization is a bottom-up organization. It's a democratic organization. The membership of the union runs the union. Mm-hmm. I, as the president or my executive board, cannot endorse a candidate without having the entire floor supporting that. Mm-hmm. Our union supported Francis Slay for mayor.
Absolutely.
And this letter was sent to our membership to remind them, because of the apathy that existed, mm-hmm. that we were supporting Francis Slay. We wanted our members to get out and vote.
Got that.
And so we sent the letter to every union member.
Got that.
In the union.
Got that.
And it talks about, what you didn't read is there are 6 highly contested aldermanic races in North St. Louis. Mm-hmm. There were very few contested races in South St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. But implicit in the statement that there are 6 highly contested automatic races in North St. Louis, the North side will be out to vote, implicit in that is that the North side is going to be voting for Irene J. Smith. So what you're saying is that, and again, you have an organization, you do have some black members in Local 73, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you have some black members. So what you're saying is that you are using the same racial coding, energizing language that elections are run by in the city of St. Louis all the time. North side, black folks against white folks. But yet you're an organization that is supposed to be the bargaining unit for everybody. But you're using racial energy and racial coding language to energize the bottom-up membership that we're talking about. So again, I would ask you, how is it that you would expect black firefighters to be part of a union that uses their race as a motivation for their membership to get out and vote?
I'm going to put a comparison the best way that I can, mm-hmm. to the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate. It's a democratic organization. Local 73, and it's often misprinted that it's the white union, which is not true.
How many black members do you have?
We have 10.
Okay, and how many total members do you have?
Total active members, 450.
Okay, so statistically, you're a white organization.
But a majority of our membership are white.
Overwhelming
majority of white. Because the African
and there are no black people on as president, any president, local president, secretary emeritus, treasurer, anything like that. Correct.
No,
we have no black people in leadership positions. We have 10 members out of 400 and something members of black folks. So you're a white organization.
But my point is, we represent everyone, and our organization is open to any firefighter, EMT, paramedic, captain, dispatcher on the St. Louis Fire Department. Mm-hmm. And the African Americans, an overwhelming majority of African Americans on the fire department, choose not to be a part of the organization.
Right.
So if you're not part of the organization, statistically speaking, no one has ever ran for office.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back again to this country as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and when I started off by saying that the problems that St. Louis had in the 40s, 50s, and 60s was shared throughout this country.
Mm-hmm.
What is different, I believe, in St. Louis versus if you look at other cities in this country, is that the races got it. They understood where the problems were. They understood that the common goal and the common enemy for firefighters is our, many times, the employers that are trying to cut companies.
But Paul, you put out a letter. If our enemy is them, why is the them in this letter Northside? I mean, if the enemy is the employers out there, the people that are trying to take away your benefits, why does your letter have the Northside as the enemy? And the Northside is black folks. I mean, y'all wrote this and y'all put this out.
Let me add
to that too, because I also on the website I have a picture of a T-shirt that your members were wearing with a caricature of Sherman George on it. And Paul, I did a whole lot of research over the weekend and prior to this, looking at, and you can see the T-shirt on the website too at lizbrown.com. That is a caricature that is just like a caricature that we see that in the stamps that Mexico mailed out. And you go back to the 1800s where you see caricatures of people in blackface. That T-shirt that you all put on or put out and had your members wear is the same type of caricature that is used to insult and demean and to attack black people. And white firefighters were wearing that T-shirt in protest of the very first African fire chief. So those are two things. When you talk about all this is in the past, you all are engaging in activities that continue into the future.
Okay, the shirt was not, Local 73 did not have anything to do, mm-hmm. The organization did not have anything to do with the T-shirt in question.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me give.
But some of your members were wearing it.
But some of the members were wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I won't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you some context.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, behind the morale.
Do you find the T-shirt offensive?
I do find the T-shirt offensive.
Did your organization write a letter saying that you found that this was offensive?
No, because to be honest with you, I don't know which member made the shirt. I mean, I don't know who it was, and I wouldn't know who to write the letter to.
I mean, did you write a letter to the chief saying that our organization had nothing to do with it, our members were not told to wear this shirt, we don't support this wearing of this shirt, and if any of our members are wearing this shirt, we apologize on their behalf. Did you write a letter to the chief like that?
Again, the T-shirt and the events that occurred was in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was I not the president, at that time I was not on the executive board of the local. I do not believe that such a letter exists, that any type of a letter went out to the membership
okay.
or to the fire chief.
Mm-hmm.
But let me try to explain. It is offensive, and I understand exactly, but I want to give you the context in which what the membership was feeling. The morale on the St. Louis Fire Department, both black and white, is the lowest it's been in the 18 years I've got on the St. Louis Fire Department.
Are you speaking on behalf of all the black firefighters?
No, I'm speaking of the firefighters that I talk to on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis that I work with. The morale is as low as it has been. I've never seen it as low as it is. And the caricature of the fire chief on that letter was a reprint of the caricature that existed in the Riverfront Times in an article about the injuries that had occurred.
Yeah, the caricatures appear all over the place.
Right,
I mean, there was a decision to say, I like that. I'm going to put that on the T-shirt, and it says it speaks to me.
Right.
The fact that somebody else did it doesn't mean anything because they said that this speaks to me, and we're going to wear this.
And the two quotes that are on the T-shirt.
I'm sorry, we have to take a break.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Paul Davis, president of St. Louis Firefighters Local 73. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. 70 at 79. Look for a heavy volume coming in on eastbound 70 from 79. Stop and go traffic northbound 270 from 44 all the way into Big Bend. Eastbound, or East St. Louis, look for westbound 5570 at the 5570 split and Highway 55 exit to be slow this hour. 55 at Butler Hill, there is a report of an accident there, and use caution as you approach up in that area. 40 at McKnight, going eastbound, look for between McKnight and Hanley, you've got heavy volume going on as well. And Ballas at Highway 40, look for the traffic lights not to be working at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Third annual Ultimate Cardinals Experience is September the 7th. Watch the Cards play the Cubs and help McDonald's raise money for UNCF. Call 314-421-5958 or visit McDonaldsstl.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Light rain or drizzle this morning. Otherwise, a chance for showers this afternoon. Possible thunderstorm even with a high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees under clouds with rain, and Lambert Field is reporting 72 with clouds and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown, and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Check out the Missouri Bowhunter Education Course at the J. Hengis Shooting Range, 1100 Antire Road in High Ridge, on Friday, August 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, August 20th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This course meets the requirements for those states requiring mandatory Bowhunter Education certification. Youth stages 11 to 15 must bring a copy of their birth certificate. Class size is limited and registration is required by August 17th. For more information, call 636-441-4554. News to Archers from Radio Free St. Louis.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, April 14th, 2004. When I hear talk about anti-Americanism, it angers me. Why does America identify itself with its military and government? Why does being anti-Bush and anti-occupation have to mean that a person is anti-American? We watch American movies, listen to everything from Britney Spears to Nirvana, and refer to every single brown fizzy drink as Pepsi. I hate American foreign policy and its constant meddling in the region. I hate American tanks in Baghdad and American soldiers on our streets and in our homes on occasion. Why does that mean that I hate America and Americans? Are tanks, troops, and violence the only face of America?
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. The 14th Annual Missouri Black Expo 2005 Quest for Success returns to America Center this Saturday and Sunday, featuring programs on youth development, health and community development, plus the University of Missouri St. Louis Lecture Series panel discussion titled Black America Today, moderated by the Honorable Freeman Bosley, Jr. This year's panel includes Dick Gregory, comedian and civil rights activist, Dr. Julia Hare, founder Black Think Tank, George Curry, editor-in-chief, National Newspaper Association, Dr. Ben Chavis, founder Million Man March, Patricia Russell McLeod, author and motivational speaker, Al Dotson Esquire, chairman of 100 Black Men of America Incorporated, Omar Tyree, New York Times best-selling author, Dr. Lynn Beckwith, endowed professor of education at UM St. Louis, and Dr. Joshua Murphy, professor, Albany State University, creator of 100 Black Men Miracles of Mentoring program. The panel discussion takes place this Saturday as part of the Missouri Black Expo 2005 Quest for Success at America Center. General admission $8. Children under 6 are free. Call 361-5772 or go to www.missouriblackexpo.com for more information. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to the president of Local Firefighters, Local 73, Paul Davis. Paul, welcome back. We're talking about this letter. We're talking about the issue of race and how it still continues, and we're talking about the issue of the T-shirt. So you were saying about the T-shirt with the caricature of Sherman George. And again, if you want to see a copy of the T-shirt, go to LizBrown.com and you can take a look at it.
The two quotes that are listed on the T-shirt are quotes. Are quotes that were taken from the Riverfront Times article.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to defend the T-shirt. I'm just trying to give your listeners a context of two quotes.
Mm-hmm.
The last quote in the line from the Riverfront Times, the fire chief's quote: "What responsibility should I take? I'm not out there." To me, if you're the leader of an organization, whether you're the leader of the fire department or the leader of a union, if you are a leader, the buck stops with you.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Truman said that in his administration as president, the buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
The issue over the injuries that were occurring was not necessarily the number of injuries that were occurring.
Well, let's talk about what you all said that the injuries were and the accusations made to Sherman George about the injuries. What did Local 73 say? They said that there were more injuries under Sherman George than there had been. Firefighters were being more injured under Sherman George than they had been prior to Sherman George, correct?
I think the issue, as far as what I was concerned, was not necessarily the number of injuries that had occurred, but the type of injuries and how those injuries were occurring.
But let's put it in the context of what was being said. I mean,
okay.
The buck stops here. The buck stops with what the organization and its members were representing. They went to the media. Local 73 went to the media and said that there were more injuries under Sherman George than ever had happened before. That's what they said about Sherman George, correct?
And it was the severity of the injuries that had existed. We had two firefighters that jumped out of the third story of a building. One guy broke his back, the other guy broke his ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys have recovered and are back on the job. We had a flashover in a fire where a firefighter was injured with his gloves off, and the flashover, that guy is off on disability. We had a building collapse that trapped three firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those firefighters have received disability pensions.
And when
it was the severity of the injuries.
But that's not the nuance. That's the nuance position that's taken after the fact, after Sherman George had a press conference, after Sherman George put the numbers out there, after Sherman George crunched the numbers, then the firefighters organization came back with a more nuanced position saying that, well, there were more severe injuries. That's not what you said in the beginning. Correct?
Every firefighter in this country, 50% of every firefighter in this country is going to get hurt this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the statistics. We have a dangerous job.
Okay. Absolutely.
We have to do everything that we can.
Absolutely.
To try to control our situations, make sure that procedures are followed, and to make sure that we are not putting ourselves into harm's way beyond what we can expect to successfully.
But, Paul, in the context of this race issue, in the context of the fact that you have an organization of over 400 people, you only have 10 black people on the organization, and in context of this being the first black fire chief of the city of St. Louis, your members went out, although it wasn't at the direction of your union, your members went out, got a T-shirt with the caricature of Sherman George on it, and claimed to the press and claimed to everybody that we have more injuries injuries under Sherman George than we did under anybody else. And that is not so. So my question to you is that given the fact that, again, you say that you want people to be part of your organization because your organization represents everybody. When you have an organization that is doing something that, and maybe you can help me with this, have you ever, as a firefighter, ever gone out and protested against a chief before? A sitting chief, other than Sherman George. You ever took a T-shirt with his picture on it? Have you ever done that before? Has the organization ever, in the history of the organization, had members protesting a chief before?
I've got to say yes. I've got to assume it's yes. I can't say for sure, but I mean, I can tell you, 1964, it was in the 60s, 1968, the firefighters in St. Louis went on strike.
Mm-hmm.
But we went on strike protesting the mayor, the board of aldermen, the director of personnel, the fire chief. I mean,
Your chief. You didn't have pictures of your chief. I'm talking about, it doesn't get any more personal than this, than the what we're seeing going on with Sherman George. These are caricatures of your chief, racist caricatures of your chief. These are people sending their wives in to protest on behalf of them against your chief. You have lawsuits against your chief. You said, I want my chief to defend himself against a lawsuit and pay for his own lawsuit. You all have done this. This has never happened before that we've had this kind of a personal, consistent, ongoing attack of a chief. And this is the first black fire chief. So how do you expect black people to want to be part of an organization that does something that has never been done before in the history of the fire department, a consistent, concerted, personal attack against the fire chief?
Labor organizations throughout this country, fire departments or private sector unions, they have disagreements with their supervisors, with their management.
All the time.
In Collinsville, Illinois, they gave the 10-day notice of strike yesterday because they can't reach an agreement with their board of education, their superintendent in Collinsville.
But this is
the same is true with our labor organization and our management.
I asked you if you've ever done this against your chief, these kinds of things against a fire chief in the city of St. Louis before, and it hasn't happened. It has not happened. So the logical question to ask is, what's different now? What is there? Your fire chief had the ability to appoint anybody in any place that he wanted to. He could assign any firefighter to any place that he wanted to. Here and now, you're saying that your chief shouldn't have that authority. Why? Why would you now say that a chief that has had the ability for the entire time that the fire department has existed, now we can't have the ability to appoint somebody to a firehouse?
The issue of the transfer policy.
And we have to take a break. Hold that thought. We'll be back. This is Liz Brown. Wake up call. Stay with me.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love, listening and sensitively responding to the needs at hand, and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
Gold Church, Civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Paul Davis, president of St. Louis Firefighters Local 73. I'm Liz Brown. Check out LizBrown.com. You want to see a copy of the letters and the pictures that we're talking about. Transfer policy, Paul.
As I stated, one of the things that Local 73 strives for and tries to reach agreements on is our working conditions, and the transfer policy falls under the working conditions. It has been with our former fire chief, Neil Svetanic, that was a bone of contention with the organization, that we wanted to have a say-so in where the employees worked. We have 30 engine houses in the city of St. Louis. We have two engine houses currently at Lambert International Airport, a third one being built with the new runway. Mm-hmm. With that many locations, many people wanted to have an opportunity to have a say-so in where they work. Mm-hmm. They want to have the ability to exercise their free speech.
Did you protest outside of Chief Satanics' office? Did you?
I think what happened is the director of public safety at the time, which was Marty Abusi, mm-hmm. Gave a directive or talked to the former fire chief and told him that he wanted a transfer policy. Mm-hmm. And the fire chief was unwilling to formulate a transfer policy that he could live with and that the employees lived with. Mm-hmm. And rather than obeying the order that was given to him by the director of public safety, he retired. Mm-hmm. And so when the new fire chief...
What did the union do to him all during the time that he was the chief in terms of the transfer policy?
We attempted to get a transfer. Every year we would attempt to get the transfer policy and, you know, when we would negotiate memorandums of understanding with the fire department, and we were never successful.
So now the firefighters organization is successful because you have a mayor that is on your side. You have a public board of safety that's on your side. And you have people that are voting for the issues that you want, right, outside of your chief, right?
Like I stated earlier in the program, we don't have collective bargaining rights in the state mm-hmm. of Missouri for public employees. And so any benefits that we have, we have meet and confer. So the benefits that we're able to achieve, we get through the political process. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, it is to our advantage as an organization to elect our friends and defeat our enemies.
And the problem is that in the city of St. Louis, the person that is on your enemies list appears to be your chief, appears to be a person that is the first black elected or the first black fire chief. That person receives, is part to, or is inflicted with racist T-shirts. We have, and I'm going back to this letter that you all, that your organization wrote. It's kind of like a two-punch thing in this letter. It's a letter that says, don't vote for Irene, but it also quotes something wonderful wonderful that Irene J. Smith did. And it says, I don't read the last line of it, be it therefore resolved by the Board of Aldermen of the City of St. Louis that we encourage the Office of the City Councilor to join with Sherman George in his legal appeal of the court order of the Missouri Court of Appeals, and we further support any effort to clarify the hiring responsibilities imposed upon the Department of Personnel by the City Charter. And you all are opposed to a this letter says that you all are opposed to, after reading this, can we afford to have Irene Smith as our next mayor? She's writing something in support of Sherman George. You're saying we can't support her because she supports Sherman George, and this is all about race.
It's not all about race.
This letter is all about race.
It is not all about race.
If the line here says that if the races in the North Side, these are six contested races in the North Side will be out to vote. This is about race.
It is not about race. This is about getting out the vote. We endorsed Mayor Francis Slay for re-election, and we are getting out the vote of our membership to make sure that the apathy that existed in the election that you've talked about on this show
against North Side, against this your letter. Okay, let me make sure that I understand. You're saying that these words, the North Side will be out to vote. There are six highly contested automatic races in the North Side. We must get out and vote. Not voting at all is voting for Irene. This is not about race. When the North Side is black and your organization is white, how is this not about race? Because you didn't say the rest of St. Louis is going to be voting, or just vote for Francis Slay, or I even would understand, don't vote for Irene J. Smith. Why doesn't your letter just say, don't vote for Irene J. Smith, she's not what we want, we want Francis Slay? That's not what you say. You say the North Side, black folks, are going to be going out to vote.
Right.
We, the White Firefighters Organization, got to go vote.
Again, let me bring this into some more context. We talked about earlier the membership of the organization, mm-hmm. and it being a Democratic organization, and the lack of African American membership in the organization. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I dream of more to have better than to have one united union with all 850 firefighters, EMTs, and paramedics in this organization to be able to sit down within our organization and discuss politics. And you know what? Race doesn't matter.
Sure it does.
Race should not matter in politics.
Let's not talk about what should be. Let's talk about what is going on in the organization that you are ahead of. In your organization, race does matter. Race is the deciding factor in a political election for mayor. Because of your letter says, your organization's letter says, it is black versus white. White. So that's how your organization rolls. And I think if you ever want to get to a place where you're going to discuss something with another group of people, you have to first admit what your own organization is doing. And what I'm hearing from you is that you're denying the racial component of this letter that was sent out to your members.
And as we've talked about earlier, the fire department is a microcosm of the city. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a native St. Louisan. Okay? I came to St. Louis when I got hired on the job. So I didn't know anything about St. Louis before I got here.
Well, then you must really be political if you came from outside St. Louis and now you're the head of the organization. So you must really have some political connections within the organization to do that.
No, I didn't know anyone in St. Louis. I didn't know anyone in St. Louis.
Okay.
I mean, just a little bit of background. I was a volunteer firefighter and I wanted to be a career firefighter. And I applied throughout the state.
Okay.
And I got hired in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I come to St. Louis, I had no idea that this city was as divided as it is. I mean, in the city as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd like to end with. I know we're getting to the close to the top of the hour. We can continue in talking about the wrongs that have happened in the past.
But if the past was only four months ago,
or we can work on trying to solve those problems and make improvements.
Or we could stop engaging in activities and practices that continue the issue of race and racism within the St. Louis Fire Department.
Agreed.
You know, but first you have to admit that these are the things that your organization is doing as of 2003 and 2004 and 2005.
And what I started to say earlier because we got off on another subject, other cities throughout this country understand the problem. And we have African-American membership in our International Association of Firefighters. And in other cities in this country, we have presidents of their locals are African-American. New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Washington, D.C. all have African-American membership, all have African-American leaders of their organization. We could have that here in St. Louis.
And again, the question becomes why? Why? Why would black... I'll end with where I began. If black people have gained all of these things outside of the union, we have more black firefighters now than we did before the Black Firefighters Union. We have more captains. We have more battalion chief captains. If we've gotten more outside of the union, then why would black firefighters join the union? And we're gonna continue this conversation. We're going to go to the next hour. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back with Wayne Luster to join this conversation with Paul Davis. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. The Venezuelan Interior Minister says it's unlikely there are any survivors from the airliner that crashed today near the border with Colombia. ABC's Tom Rivers reports from the Foreign Desk in London.
The West Caribbean Airways plane was en route to Martinique from Panama when it reportedly radioed in it was experiencing engine trouble. 10 minutes later, contact with the Caracas Tower was lost. Locals in the remote western part of Venezuela near the Colombian border say they heard the sound of an explosion. Rescue crews have been scrambled to the remote area.
There were 152 passengers and crew aboard. Israeli settlers in the Gaza Strip had set fire to trash bins filled with wood to try to keep soldiers from moving through the settlement handing out eviction notices. Israeli officials say they expect half the settlers in Gaza to leave before the deadline for the pullout. And that deadline is 8 hours away. A grisly discovery may or may not be connected to the case of Natalie Holloway, the Alabama teenager who disappeared in Aruba 2.5 months ago. ABC's David Curley reports.
Arubans will wake up to a newspaper report that a forearm washed up on a Venezuelan beach 20 miles from the island. An arm now being tested in Caracas to determine if it's from a male or female.
A witness claims he saw the prime suspect in a car with friends in the area where Holloway supposedly vanished. Crude oil prices eased to below $66 a barrel today, but that's little consolation to motorists who are paying an average $2.55 a gallon at the pump. Good Morning America financial contributor Melody Hobson looks at the bright side.
Keep in mind that we still have gas at a bargain. In Europe, gas averages $5 to $6 a gallon.
Well, the Labor Department this morning says consumer prices shot up last month by 0.5 percentage point, reflecting higher prices for gas and other energy products. This is ABC News.
Pepsi is honored to team up with Major League Hall of Famer Johnny Bench.
There's nothing more exciting than stepping onto the field at the World Series in front of thousands of cheering fans. Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Bench, and I'm proud to announce that Pepsi is giving you the chance to throw out a ceremonial first pitch of the 2005 World Series. Exclusively at Walgreens, see specially marked 2-liter Pepsi products in Walgreens' August Easy Saver catalog for complete rules and your chance to enter.
No purchase necessary. Pepsi Sweepstakes ends August 27th, 2005.
Millions of miles, thousands of TV appearances, hundreds of baseball games, 80 years of history, and a fleet of Goodyear blimps all add up to one big celebration. The Goodyear Blimp Birthday Sale-Ebration, with sky-high savings on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, get up to an $80 rebate on a qualifying purchase. Offers end August 27th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Goodyear. For 80 years, it's in the name everyone looks up to. Mailing rebate offer subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
The Bush administration sounds confident about progress toward democracy in Iraq, even though there's a week's delay in finalizing the new constitution.
President Bush described the Iraqi negotiations as heroic and said they show that difficult problems can be solved peacefully. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice believes an agreement will be achieved.
These people are working very, very hard.
Rice told reporters it's an example of democracy at work.
They have made substantial progress on all of the issues before them.
Those issues include federalism, women's rights, and the role of Islam. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
A NATO peacekeeping helicopter crashed today in western Afghanistan, killing 17 Spanish soldiers. A spokesman for the International Security Force in Kabul also says a second chopper made an emergency landing. A number of soldiers on that aircraft were injured. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, some St. Louis County residents will have help from county employees as they clean up from the weekend's windstorms. Between now and August 29th, residents of unincorporated areas of St. Louis County can move their tree debris to the curb for removal by county employees. County Executive Charlie Dooley says the cleanup assistance is a way to help residents get their lives back to normal.
We cannot physically turn on the electricity, but we can assist by moving some debris out of the way for those individuals to make ready for their repair.
Dooley expects the cleanup effort to cost the county about $100,000 in overtime and dumping fees. Residents may call 314-615-8538 for more information. Classes start in the Melville School District this morning, and district officials say there's a reason for an earlier start to the academic year. Last year, school started on September 2nd, but this year's state date allows middle and high school students to complete first semester exams before the start of winter break. 72 new teachers have been hired district-wide, along with 3 new principals and 6 new assistant principals. Police officers and civilians from Illinois will learn how to recognize animal abuse during a day-long seminar in Edwardsville today. Madison County Assistant State's Attorney Amy Mayer says they will be taught what to look for, how to get help, and how to protect themselves when dealing with an animal abuse situation. She says this training will allow more animal abusers and hoarders to face prosecution. Finally this hour, the Blues have re-signed forward Jamal Mayers, and defenseman Eric Brewer has accepted the team's qualifying offer. Mayers has played 7 seasons with the Blues, collecting 36 goals and 47 assists, while Brewer came over from Edmonton earlier this month in the trade that sent Chris Pronger to the Oilers. The Blues have also re-signed forward Peter Sagna and defenseman Brett Scheffelmeyer to minor league contracts. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by GM. For the first time in history, everyone in America gets the GM employee discount. You pay what GM employees pay, not a cent more. At participating GM dealers only, event ends September 6th. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Missouri 141 at Ridgewood School. There's a report of an accident eastbound McKnight at Hanley. There's a report of an accident as well. Accident has been cleared on northbound 55 at Butler Hill, and traffic lights are not working at Mason and 40. Heavy traffic on eastbound 70 all the way into 79 this hour. Stop and go traffic around northbound 270 all the way into Big Bend. Slow traffic from westbound 5570 into the 5570 split and 55. Traffic lights not working at Ballast and 40. Northbound 170 at Page, there's a report of an accident. Northbound 55 at Gravelway, that accident has been cleared this hour. Gravelway and Russell, there's a report of an accident. Ballast at 40, look for those traffic lights not to be working as well. 70 at Earth City Expressway, look for heavy volume there. And 44 at Lindbergh, there's a report of an incident. And southbound Lindbergh between 40 and Manchester, there's road construction. The left lane will be closed, as well as 67 at Highway 367, road maintenance has the ramp will be closed for paving this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Beat the heat all summer long with a 48-ounce drink, like an ice-cold Coke, just for 89 cents at McDonald's. That's a big drink for a little price. It might just be the hottest deal in town, McDonald's. I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Light rain or drizzle till late this morning. Then a chance for showers and isolated thunderstorms by the afternoon. The high should be around 80. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Thursday, partly sunny skies, a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions, some fog, and light drizzle with 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 degrees and clouds with some light drizzle as well. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, jump on the sun.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. My website is lizbrown.com, LIZZBrown.com. We are talking this morning about firefighters, particularly specifically in the city of St. Louis, but these are issues that impact us all over the country, the state. What the state of fire departments all across this country, this issue of race and how it plays itself out in firehouses all across this country. I have a discussion planned for you this hour, a discussion that I don't think has ever taken place in the city of St. Louis, a discussion of this very issue with the president of St. Louis Local Firefighters 73 and Captain Wayne Lester, the vice chairman of fire. Wayne, welcome.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
It seems fitting that we have a fire alarm going off as we begin our conversation this morning. Paul Davis, president of the local firefighter 73, welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to begin, if I may, with you, Wayne. You've had an opportunity to listen to some of the conversation that we've had this morning, and one of the issues that was of concern to me, and an issue that presented itself as I looked at the different statistics that exist within the fire department, are the numbers of captains and the numbers of chiefs and the numbers of firefighters that have joined the department or have been part of the department after the creation of fire. And what, in your words or in your observation, how important is it to have an organization like fire?
First of all, I want to say thank you to you for having us on and letting us have this discussion. Also to your guests, Joe Hughes in the first hour and Paul the second hour and us together. But most of all, your listeners, for listening and tuning in. One thing that I like to say that I think is very important that fire exists. With Joe giving the history of fire existence, what happened prior to the existence of fire, he painted the picture to let everybody know what was going on. And I don't want to let it be skewed, because even though it was blatant back then, it's just in a different form today.
And in terms of let's come today, one of the issues that we've discussed in the last hour was the issue of the transfer policy. And I made the observation that I've never seen anything like this in terms of, and I don't know if any other fire department is facing this across the country, that the chief of the fire department is unable to put a firefighter where the chief of an organization believes that they should be. That's where we are right now. I don't know of any organization that exists in America where the president, the CEO, the head of the organization can't put people where they want to put people. Talk to us about the transfer policy.
I think before I can talk about the transfer policy, I must answer Paul for speaking for me. First of all, he doesn't speak for me in the sense of morale. Mm-hmm. You asked him specifically, does he speak for all firefighters? I have to say personally, in my own personal testimony, the lowest point of the morale on my career in the St. Louis Fire Department is when the previous chief was here, Neil Satanics. Mm-hmm. When I was transferred every other year, not only I was transferred, I noticed that the leaders of fire was transferred, banished to the airport. So that was the lowest point in my personal career as far as morale on the St. Louis Fire Department. Now, to the transfers,
can we back to the morale? Because also, Paul, you mentioned that it was low for everybody in the fire department. As the president or the vice chairman of fire, there are about 300 and something black firefighters and other workers that are part of the organization. How is morale for black firefighters and EMS workers now?
I think there's a resolved approach in fire members. I think that there are an opportunity for them to prosper or seemingly prosper in an even playing field. Mm-hmm. But it seems like once you play by the rules, once you do what's required, then there's another element that's added to the paradigm. And this element is coming outside of the fire department. And when you talk about specifically transfers, you look at the city charter. It specifically gives the appointing authority under Section 8. It says the appointing authority may at any time transfer any classified employee under his jurisdiction from one position to another position in the same class by giving written notice to the director, and that's the director of personnel, not the director of public safety, before the effective date thereof. Transfer of the classified employee from a position under the jurisdiction of one appointed authority to the position under the jurisdiction of another appointed authority may be made within the approval of the director of personnel and the appointed authorities. So what we have is a bigger question here. The chief has been given the ability to transfer by the city charter. Now, the question that should be asked is this administration, talking about the Slay administration, talking about Jeff Rankford, talking about Simon, the director of public safety, are they interfering with this administration and going against the city charter? I think that's the question that needs to be asked. We have a public forum here, but I think that an official forum needs to be researched and delve into this question by the Board of Aldermen. Maybe the Board of Aldermen need to have hearings, official hearings, and ask the question, is this administrative interference, where the appointing authority cannot transfer or run his department? And has it happened anywhere else in the city? We've seen something unprecedented where the appointing authority had to go and hire his own attorney. The city didn't want the city didn't pay for him. Now, he works for the city. He's looking out for city money, city taxpayers, and he stated that.
And we're talking about Chief Sherman George.
Chief Sherman George, the first African-American chief on the St. Louis Fire Department.
And so, Paul, let's you jump in here in terms of the what Local 73 is asking for. You're asking for something, according to what Wayne is saying, that is contrary to the charter of the city of St. Louis. Every other appointing authority has the ability to make transfers, to make decisions that they want to make within their department.
When the fire chief became the fire chief, the director of public safety, Marty Abusi, asked him to provide him with a transfer policy. And the fire chief...
Which fire chief are we talking about?
Sherman George. And the standard operating procedures of the St. Louis Fire Department, Section 6.12, that was amended in 1999 or 2000, in 2000, the fire chief made a transfer policy, and he listed it six-page document that lists the procedures that the fire department will live under. The fire chief still has the authority under the city charter to grant him that ability, but the fire chief created the standard operating procedures in which we live under for the transfer process. And in that process, it talks about when there's an opening exists, that opening will be published in every engine house, and people will have the ability to bid on a particular opening. And then it goes on, and then the fire chief will have a committee that will look at the transfer requests come in, and that he will make the appropriate transfers based on the selection criteria outlined in Section 6.12 of the Standard Operating Procedures of the Fire Department. And if you're not following Step 1 and Step 2, you can't jump down to Step 3 that says, for the good of the department, the fire chief can transfer anybody he wants to at any time. That goes against the entire transfer policy.
And Wayne?
Actually, it doesn't. First, to put it in perspective, 73 wanted a transfer policy under the previous chief, Neil Satanics.
Local 73.
And he wouldn't give him one. Mm-hmm. This chief, because of his good nature, because he wanted to involve everybody, allowed a transfer policy. But, of course, he would not take away his own authority. That don't make sense. That's not reasonable. And as the appointing authority, he can at any time do a transfer. Now, what happened was he exercised his authority as the appointing authority and made a transfer list and notified everyone. The director of public safety, Mr. Simon, told him he couldn't transfer. And from my perspective, fire's perspective, it's because of a few local 73 members that are high up in their organization and that have influence with this administration. I think that you all established earlier when you talked about the letter that they put out and who they wanted to vote for. And they said they supported Francis Slay, the mayor of the city of St. Louis. Quite naturally, you don't support someone and not get anything in return. the question is, what are you getting in return? And from our perspective, they're getting administrative interference in return. Anything that 73 wants to do, anything 73 wants to stop, they get from support from above, the chief's head. So what you have is, I guess, a payoff. All right, we'll give you our support. You give us what we want.
Paul.
Again, in the first hour, I spoke about the lack of collective bargaining for public employees in the state of Missouri. The way the collective bargaining process works is we negotiate with our supervisors, with whoever the appointing authority is. And there's give and take. You negotiate. You give a little, I'll give a little, we'll meet somewhere in the middle. With our current administration, with our fire chief, we are not reaching. We are unable to negotiate. He is unwilling to sit down and negotiate with the local on changes in working conditions and on changes in you know, the benefits that we receive. And so, like I stated earlier, if we're not able to get it through the collective bargaining process, we have to do it through the political process.
Let's do a little give a little, take a little a situation. Your fire chief wanted to make a policy about hepatitis shots, that he wanted all of the members to have to do this, to be tested for hepatitis C, I believe it was. And your organization, and please help me understand this because I certainly don't, your organization opposed this. Your organization did not sit down with the chief to talk about this. He invited them in to have a conversation about this. Your organization had told its members that they shouldn't even come to the discussion meeting about this new policy. Explain to me, to the listening audience, if it's about give a little, take a little, why your organization would be against that type of a policy and why your organization wouldn't even sit down or would tell its members not to come and listen to what was being discussed.
I don't have any knowledge of our organization being against the hepatitis C program.
Can you talk to that?
The International Association of Firefighters has been on the forefront of hepatitis C and other communicable diseases.
Okay.
And this started in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, when a large population of the firefighters and EMTs and paramedics in Philadelphia contracted hepatitis C. And that is a problem that exists throughout this country.
It's a good policy.
It's an excellent policy.
But Wayne, talk to us about what happened here in the city of St. Louis with that when Sherman George tried to instigate that or to implement that policy.
First of all, let's clear something up. The chief, Chief George, Local 73, and fire meets once a month and discuss issues in the St. Louis Fire Department. They have input on issues. And to my understanding, it's to the directive of his superior, Mr. Simon. He wants to create an atmosphere, from what I see, as a management style where you build consensus where everybody has an input in this management style until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the point of authority's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, why not allow him to run his department? One of the things that the chief did in his way of being innovative and creative, he went out and got a grant from the government, and they came in with hepatitis C testing. And at the time, the local was against it. It was interesting because there was a woman from Philadelphia, I believe it was, or Pennsylvania, a white female that was in the local out there. She came and gave a testimonial how her chief opposed hepatitis C testing and opposed her as an individual because she had contracted it through the job and was fighting her. The film that we saw, the international, was in support of this, but this local wasn't. Now, I'm not telling you something that I heard about. I'm telling you something that I experienced because I was there. I participated in the program. What's interesting is that we're telling folks out here that this is a unique situation. This local is a unique situation. This whole atmosphere in St. Louis is a unique thing. Race is the basis of everything in the decisions that they make. And what I'm telling you is that, yes, I can say that there are black firemen in unions all across this country. But if you look at it, the predominant factor is they're black cities. Mm-hmm. They run the locals. This local wants to impose their will on everyone else at the expense of everyone else. If you deal with city people in the government and get and have them talk to you with this health care thing, it's the same way.
Well, talk to us about specifically about what 73 did about the hepatitis.
They protested. They didn't participate. You had a few that participated, but they spoke out against it. They told their members don't.
And when was this?
This was a few years ago. I think 3 years ago.
So
it didn't cost the city taxpayers a dime.
And this is when Sherman George was the chief.
Yes.
So here we do. We have.
The local did not oppose the hepatitis C. And my company, we went down on a rotating basis throughout the country, and everyone on my company got the hepatitis C shots. Now, if there were individuals because of religious reasons or because of other reasons that decided not to get the test, that's fine, you know. But we did not. Local 73 did not go out and stand against hepatitis C.
Wayne,
you didn't march against it like you did everything else, but you did support it. And that's what I'm telling you.
Did not support it.
You did not support it.
And how? And what were some of the things that were done that demonstrated the lack of support from 73 on the hepatitis piece?
The lack of participation. Mm-hmm. I think that the chief himself came in and spoke to each class, mm-hmm. and encouraged them to take it, despite the opposition. Because what you're saying is, I'm giving you an opportunity to find out if you have hepatitis C or not. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. I had went to a forum for a week over in Illinois to fight racism.
And we're going to have to take a break real quick here. I'm talking to Captain Wayne Lester, Vice Chairman of Fire, Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Local Firefighters, Local 73. And also when we come back, too, because, again, this whole spirit of cooperation, let's talk about the pumpers issue as well, adding paramedics to the pumpers when we come back. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 270 in New Florissant, there's an injury accident on the exit ramp. It's partially blocked. Traffic is slow most of the way, all the way through West Florissant. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, there's a report of an accident. Right lane is blocked. Expect delays near Shreve. Eastbound 40 at 170, that accident's been cleared, but traffic is backed up most of the way, all the way to Ballast. Eastbound 40 at 270, accident reported in the left lane. Traffic is backed up approaching 141. Eastbound 70 at Blanchard Bridge. Road construction right lane is closed. Crews are in the final stage of the bridge work, and traffic is busy as you approach 5th Street. Northbound 55 between 270 and Holly Hills, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler Plant and 270. Look for slow traffic, particularly in the right lane. Northbound 270 between Sappington and Marshall is stop and go in pockets. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way in to Lee May Ferry. Look for no problems there. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSD. It is stop and go in your 830 commute. Westbound 64, 5570 split. That traffic is starting to ease. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing. No problems to report there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB has returned back to normal. And Route 141 at Big Bend, those traffic lights are not working. Aubuchon has restrictions between Missouri Bottom and Tesson Ferry due to flooding. And Mason at 40, look for those traffic lights not to be working. They are on red flash at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, Light rain or drizzle is expected until late morning, then a chance for showers and an isolated thunderstorm by this afternoon with a high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower or upper 60s. And Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU with clouds, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 71 with some light drizzle. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The 14th Annual Missouri Black Expo 2005 Quest for Success returns to America Center this Saturday and Sunday, featuring programs on youth development, health and community development, plus the University of Missouri St. Louis Lecture Series panel discussion titled Black America Today, moderated by the Honorable Freeman Bosley, Jr. This year's panel includes Dick Gregory, comedian and civil rights activist, Dr. Julia Hare, founder Black Think Tank, George Curry, editor-in-chief, National Newspaper Association, Dr. Ben Chavis, founder Million Man March, Patricia Russell McLeod, author and motivational speaker, Al Dotson Esquire, chairman of 100 Black Men of America Incorporated, Omar Tyree, New York Times best-selling author, Dr. Lynn Beckwith, endowed professor of education at UM St. Louis, and Dr. Joshua Murphy, professor, Albany State University, creator of 100 Black Men Miracles of Mentoring program. The panel discussion takes place this Saturday as part of the Missouri Black Expo 2005 Quest for Success at America Center. General admission $8. Children under 6 are free. Call 361-5772 or go to www.missouriblackexpo.com for more information.
It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be Sports Talk with Kevin Paulus, as close as your computer, at WGNU.net.
I am Elder Rolitha Cutts, and I am the host of the Victory Through Praises radio broadcast ministry on Saturdays from 4:30 to 5 p.m. We are a ministry that believes in encouraging the body of Christ and people everywhere to just continue on in life and be encouraged and know that you can make it through anything that happens in life. Once again, that's Victory Through Praises radio broadcast ministry on Saturdays, 4:30 to 5 p.m.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. I am here. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Our email is revolution@lizbrown.com. We are discussing fire department issues. We are discussing the issue of race in the fire department. I am here with Captain Wayne Lester. He's the vice chair of fire, and Paul Davis. He's the president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73. And Wayne, we were on our way out. We were talking about the issue of race in the hepatitis program, and also I'd like to talk about the pumpers as well.
It was very, just quickly, because of the program, I went to a conference, and there was a member of 73 there, a white female. She found out that she was exposed to hepatitis C, and she came to me, and told me that she had been exposed. And I was there to support her and help her. Through that program, she found out that she was taking it home to her family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the program and the chief's foresight in this that he made it available to the members of the fire department.
Mm-hmm. And there was opposition from Local 73?
For whatever reason.
Okay, so let's talk about other, because Paul, we had talked about the whole give and take, the what is happening here with the fire department. One of the things that you had said, or you made reference to, Paul, was the issue of that we want to put the issue of race behind us and start dealing with the issues directly. Is it possible to put race behind us, to not let race impact on these decisions when the organization that you represent is an organization that exists or that consists solely or the overwhelming majority of people? You have 10 black members and about what is it, 450 people. You have about 10 black members. Is it possible for your organization to put race aside? I mean, is it possible to put race aside when your organization engages in issues that have race involved in them, in the decision-making?
I don't believe any organization in this country is going to be able to put race behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Race is going to be an issue that people discuss.
Well, then let me ask
you. We can have differences. Mm-hmm. We can have differences, and what we need to understand, and what I believe we understand, is that sometimes it's okay to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned on the St. Louis Fire Department, we learned in May of 2002 that the fire that we fight on a daily basis does not discriminate. In May of 2002, we lost two firefighters here in the city of St. Louis, an African-American firefighter and a white firefighter. That's our enemy. And if we go in and we fight at a fire, and we've got each other's back, and if Wayne goes down, whoever's behind him is going to pick him up. And if I go down, whoever is going to pick me up. Or if I see someone go down, I'm going to pick them up. And we do this on a daily job, and we risk our lives. And in Rob and Derek's case, they gave their lives for this job. And so if we can do that in a life-threatening environment, then we ought to be able to get past the differences and start having a discussion about the differences so that we can reach some consensus.
Do you see, Wayne, that the organization Local 73 is moving past the issues of race? I mean, that's fabulous. I mean, the fire doesn't discriminate, God doesn't discriminate, lightning doesn't discriminate, but people discriminate and organizations discriminate. Do we have those types of actions happening with the Local 73?
It's interesting that he would mention Derek and Rob. I remember, and incidentally, Derek and Rob was at the same engine house I'm at,
mm-hmm.
Engine House 1. We had a service for them there, and fire made Rob a honorary member. We gave a scholarship to his kids.
Rob is the white firefighter.
Right, Rob Morrison. We also got plaques and citations from our international, and they made him an honorary member. In the same ceremony, Local 73 presented plaques and presented it just to Rob's wife and not to Derek's wife, which was not only hurtful and disingenuous, but it was, act of what's really in your spirit, what's really in your heart, that you can't get beyond your own inner demons and work together at a time like this. And guys talk to me about that all the time, that was an act that was very distasteful and it was hurtful.
Paul?
I'd like to read a quote. And this is from Julian Bond, the chairman of the NAACP. And he was addressing the AFL-CIO convention on July 25th of this year. And that quote says, "Given our common interest, minority Americans and organized labor are both better off when we cooperate. most of us are working people. Our interest and your interest are the same.
But Paul, Wayne just gave you a specific example of after... I don't think anybody out in the listening audience wants to hear any kind of, you know, we shall overcome type of energy or language. Wayne just gave you a specific example of an opportunity for Local 73 to prove, to show an example, to engage in behavior that demonstrates that they are capable of not making decisions, racist decisions, negative decisions based upon somebody's race. You had two firefighters from the same engine house that were killed in the same fire, and Local 73 treated one firefighter because of the color of his skin differently and better than another firefighter who died in the same fire. I don't want to hear anything from Julian Bond about this. I want to hear something from you about what is your organization about and what is your organization going to do.
I think the context in what Wayne said was that his organization chose to give whatever they gave to both firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they did it. Mm-hmm. And I applaud them. Commend them for that. Okay? Local 73 did not do the same thing.
But they did worse than that. They did worse. They only gave one to one. You did worse. You only gave one to one.
And again, this is the first time that I'm even hearing of this. Okay, this is 3 years. I mean, this past May was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that this has even been brought to my attention. So I am not going to be able to answer for what happened 3 years ago when this, sitting here today, is the first time that I have heard that accusation made.
But
I have not heard that on the fire department. No one has talked to me about that. And I've been the president since January. If this was a concern of firefighters, I would have heard...
Okay, now that you
within
know
the engine houses.
Now that you know about it, now what? You know about it. It happened. Now what?
I don't know that it happened.
Oh, so
I don't know. I don't know that it happened.
So what are you saying then?
What I'm saying is it 100% accurate? Is part of his facts accurate? Is it a half-truth? I don't know.
So
I'm going to have to make an investigation to find out exactly what happened.
We can start the investigation right now, Paul. You can pick up the phone. Well, you can have.
Oh, wait, in fact, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to take a break right now, and I will be back with Paul Davis, president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73, and Captain Wayne Lester, vice chairman of fire. Beat goes on.
The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah, there's just so much confusion going down. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my way. Don't you come on back.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on a new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
New Orleans on.
BlackExposeOnline.com. Happening every day.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio 3 St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Try your best.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's not the bare moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just as known as you. It is.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Paul Davis, president of St. Louis Local 73, and Captain Wayne Lester, vice chairman of FIRE. Y'all, we haven't had an opportunity to get and to take calls. What we're going to do is in the next hour, I apologize because there's so much more that I want to get to with both gentlemen in the studio with me. So we're going to take calls in the next hour, nothing but calls and questions in the next hour. But I want to continue on this issue of how race, how the Local 73 makes their decision and how it impacts upon people on the issue of race. We talked about how the two firefighters passed in the fire three years ago now, and how the Black Firefighters Association dealt with that loss, and how Local 73 dealt with the loss. And Wayne, you talked about how you were there when the plaque was handed out.
Right.
You were there. You saw it. And who was the person that was handing the plaque out?
Kenny Sturma.
And Paul, he's on the board now, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And I kind of want to underscore what it must have felt like for the widow to have. What did you see when you saw the plaque being handed out?
What I saw was the chairman of FIRE, Addington Stewart, present to both wives the plaques and citations from the International, and also make Derek's kids a, because his dad was an honorary member, give scholarships to their kids. Soon after that, 73, and the personal representative of 73, Kenny Sturmer, came.
This is a big formal event, right?
Yes, this is at the Engine House. In the Engine House Bay.
And how many people
open
are there?
To the public, I'd say easy, 150.
Okay, 150.
Easy.
150,
yes.
People there.
Yes.
Okay.
When
and everybody knew that this was going to happen. Everybody was notified.
It was a pre-planned event.
Okay.
It wasn't something that just popped up. It wasn't something that happened haphazardly.
Mm-hmm.
When it came time for 73 to present their plaques, Kenny Joe Sturmer presented the plaque. I saw him not even address Derek's wife. Actually just presented the plaque to Rob's wife and didn't hug, didn't kiss, didn't console, just walked away after that.
Did he hug and kiss and console Rob's wife?
Of course, when he presented the plaque, he gave her a hug and walked away.
Now, Paul, you weren't the president then, and you said that this is the first that you've heard about this. My question to you is that you weren't there, but there were other people there. Some would make the argument that, well, Derek wasn't a part of the Local 73. We didn't give him a plaque. But somebody should have, don't you think? Somebody should have at the organization on 73's end said, you know, oh, shoot, we should have done something for Derek's wife. 1 year passed, nothing's done. 2 years passed, nothing done. 3 years has passed, still nothing has been done for Derek's wife. What do you say about that?
Let me, the week leading up to the funerals, we had two firefighters that were killed. We've discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
And our International came in and assisted in the memorial service that existed. And in our International, when you have multiple line of duty deaths, you get a large number of firefighters from throughout this country that come in to attend the memorial service. And we had a unique situation here, that we had a union member and a non-union member. And our international asked us, are we treating this as a multiple line of duty death, or are we treating this as a single line of duty death? And we treated this from the beginning as a multiple line of duty death. And our international president came in and he gave a eulogy at that memorial service at the Savas Center on Saturday after the tragic event. The issues that Wayne has expressed, like I said, this is the first time that I've heard about it sitting here today. So I don't know how to respond. Other than, and we can sit back and we can go back into history and you can call me a name and I can call you a name and we can go back and forth and you can say, but you did that and I did that and you did this and I did that, and we can go on and we can continue this for the next 2 days. Or we can start today and start solving the problems that exist. Learn from the history that existed. Learn from the history that happened and start working to solve the problems.
But here's the
problem.
It's
a difference. It's
here's
a difference between discussing problems
problem,
and coming
Paul.
To solutions.
Here's the problem, Paul. I mean, all of that theory is accurate. All of that theory is just that theory. If you want people to begin a relationship with you, it would be foolish to expect that a person would get into a relationship with somebody and ignore everything that person has done prior to that moment. It would be a foolish and an illogical thing to say, you know what, I'm going to hire this guy and I'm going to ignore the fact that he has 16 years worth of burglary charges and he's done 15 years worth for stealing and embezzlement. So wait a minute. So it is absurd to say that we are supposed to step away from what people have actually done. History, we're not talking about history, we're talking about what has happened recently by an organization in conjunction with a thousand other things that this organization has done. If you want people to really believe that you are not like the action that happened when the wife of a firefighter had her back turned to her because she was not white and the other woman was, then I guess the expectation would be that you, as the president, instead of saying, let's get beyond history, should have said on this show, when you heard about it for the first time, this is outrageous. If that happened, then I, as the president of this organization, am going to make this right because this is not something that is supposed to happen. You didn't say that. You didn't call to even find out that it did happen when we took the break. Instead, you're giving us a lecture on what we're supposed to do about history. You have an opportunity to make history right now, and you didn't.
Like I said, I did not say ignore the history that existed. What I said or meant to say was let's learn from the history that has existed. And like I said in the last hour, when you look at throughout this country and the deplorable conditions that African Americans were forced to work under in the 40s, 50s, and 60s,
what are you going to do about this? Exactly, what are you going to do about this issue right now? What are you going to do about this issue right now?
What am I going to do about this issue right now? Like I said earlier, this is a bottom-up organization. This is a democratic organization. I do not have the authoritarian ability to make a decision for this local. But what I will bring up is I will make sure that it is on our agenda at our next executive board meeting to be brought up at our next general membership meeting.
Wayne.
Let me say this so that you don't, to the listening audience, you don't become president overnight. I didn't become a vice chairman overnight. I worked in this organization. Anybody know the history of our organization? You come in, you get on committees, you work, you get to know the personalities. You go to the meetings, you fuss, you fight, you get your points across, you learn people as the years go by. I have gone on 16 years on the St. Louis Fire Department. I've been a member of fire for 16 years. I'm not a Johnny come lately. I have a history in this organization. I have a history on the fire department. Paul has a history in the fire department. He has a history in his organization. it's not enough to say that I'm just the president or I just became the president. What did you do before then? Were you one of those voices that you say that you answered to now that you're the president? Were you letting your opinion known then when you were before you became the president? Or did you go through the ranks? And did you go through the steps? I offered him my cell phone to call a person, and he refused to accept it. And that's okay. I think, though, if he wants to get to solutions, I think he should join with us and say, let the Board of Aldermen take an official look at what's going on in the St. Louis Fire Department and see if this is an administrative interference from the top of this city, from the city officials, from the mayor to his deputy mayor and to the director of public safety. Let's see if he's willing to get to solutions and join with us and say, Board of Aldermen, why don't you have an official form and investigate what's going on?
When we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls. I'm talking to Paul Davis, president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73, Captain Wayne Lester, vice chairman of FIRE. I'm Liz Brown. And if you want to get a look at the T-shirts that we were talking about, the horrific racist caricature of a T-shirt that the firefighters, white firefighters wore in protest of Sherman, George, you can check that out at my website at lizbrown.com. If you want to get a look at the letter that the Local 73 sent out, make your own opinion about what it says and what it means. Check that out at lizbrown.com. If you want to comment on that, get on over to Blogitude, STL, at lizbrown.com. Make your comments. We'll share them on the air. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back. We're canceling our next guest because we ain't done here. Stay with us.
The progress is healing the wound.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 AM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Only 7 hours to go until the deadline for Israeli settlers to leave their homes in the Gaza Strip and West Bank. After that, Israeli troops will sweep the area and evict the settlers forcibly. There's a big protest underway at the largest settlement in Gaza, Neve Dekalin. ABC's Linda Alvin is there.
The settlers have erected a barrier to try to keep the police and the soldiers back. Flames rising into the air. Green trash bins now with wood piled high, burning under a scorching sun. The police, special units, commandos dressed in black. The army, too, here confronting some of the settlers who have decided to resist. Pushing them back, and urging their own men on forward.
ABC's Linda Albin. Three settlements in Gaza have been cleared so far. There's been another big plane crash just 2 days after a jet from Cyprus crashed with 121 people aboard. This time it was a West Caribbean Airways flight from Panama to the island of Martinique. It went down in western Venezuela near the border with Colombia. ABC's Fernando Jauregui is in Caracas.
It seems that this is a charter done for Spanish tourists.
The Venezuelan officials say it's unlikely there are any survivors among the 160 passengers and crew. The Labor Department says consumer prices spiked by 0.5% last month, fueled by higher prices for gasoline and other energy products. Gasoline is a record $2.55 a gallon on average. And Good Morning America financial contributor Melody Hobson says don't look for much relief.
We're not expecting a gigantic decline after Labor Day, but it may be a little bit of a decline.
And something else that costs a lot more, college textbooks. But experts say computer software and other unnecessary add-ons are driving up textbook prices by twice the rate of inflation. This is ABC News.
All right, what do we have?
Male patient trying to get a loan for a car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Seen this before. What's his credit score?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan!
All right, I'm going to call it.
How's your financial health? With Score Power from Equifax, you get your credit report and credit score. It's the first step to healthy credit.
Doctor, there's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
We'll be right back.
Whether you're a painting pro or a weekend warrior, step this way to your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store for our big annual Werner Ladder Sale. Sherwin-Williams is now your exclusive store for Werner Ladder Central, where you'll find a full range of professional ladders. It's where you'll also find 20% savings on Werner, the professional's choice in ladders. At Sherwin-Williams, you'll find everything you need, including 20% savings on all Werner ladders. Hurry, sale ends August 31st. Ask how, ask now, ask Sherwin-Williams.
Gasoline is closing in on $3 a gallon, so now's the time to consider alternatives, some of them straight from the farmyard. Here's ABC's Ron Claiborne.
When most people think about alternatives to gas, they probably think hybrid cars, which run on gas and electricity. What you probably never thought of is this. That's right, chickens as a fuel source. It turns out chicken fat contains hydrocarbons, just like oil, and can be converted to fuel to run a vehicle. A school district in Georgia is using a mixture of chicken fat and diesel gas to power school buses.
ABC's Ron Claiborne in New York. A new survey out today shows automaker discounts are important to consumers, but improving quality is even more important in the long run. The University of Michigan survey gives Toyota the top score in the Customer Satisfaction Index. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Frangemeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon wants the public to beware of fraudulent repair schemes. Because of the recent storms in the St. Louis area, Nixon is urging the public to be alert to the possibility of home repair fraud. Nixon explains that there are protections in place to protect the public against this type of fraud.
We have laws and rules in place that make it illegal to price gouge after a natural disaster, be it a tornado or a storm or whatever. So we watch very carefully. But if people feel like they've got problems, they need to make sure they call us. Because oftentimes, the fly-by-night operators will just come to town for a few days, take the cash, and never be seen again.
Nixon says different forms of home repair fraud include price gouging and taking the customer's money without completing any work. Nixon urges the public to call the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Hotline at 800-392-8222 if there are questions or complaints about a business. This morning, St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is considering suspending the state's sales tax on gas in an effort to ease sticker shock at gas pumps statewide. Illinois currently charges a price-based sales tax on gasoline, which generated an estimated $65 million in revenue after gas price hikes in the past year. If the administration suspends the sales tax, prices at the pump could be slashed by up to 12 cents per gallon. New research flies in the face of the popular belief that violent video games fuel violent behavior. The study focused on two groups, one that played a highly violent online game for a month and another that served as a control. Researchers say the players did not exhibit an increase in aggressive behavior during or after the study period, and that aggression levels in both groups were similar from start to finish. The findings of the University of Missouri at Urbana-Champaign study appear in the latest issue of Communication Monographs. Finally this hour, Four Brothers have knocked the Duke boys out of the top spot at the box office. Studio estimates indicate the film Four Brothers took in $20.7 million over the weekend. That's about $5 million more than the number two film, The Skeleton Key. The Dukes of Hazzard is in third place with a take of $13 million. Last week's number two, Wedding Crashers, is now in fourth with $12 million. In Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo rounds out the top five in its debut weekend. It made $9.4 million over the weekend. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Fazoli's. Try Fazoli's new Italian meat sampler for only $3.99 and enjoy Fazoli's new cinnamon or cheese breadsticks, only 49 cents for two with entree. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge Road construction right lane is closed as crews are in the final stage of bridge work. Traffic is busy at 5th Street on in. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270 is slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall Road, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh, no problems to report there. Westbound 270 from Washington Elizabeth into New Florissant, you've got heavy volume due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 from West Florissant, that traffic is easing after an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, you've got stop-and-go traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street, or from Route 3 onto the PSB, look for slow traffic in your 9 a.m. commute. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, no problems to report there. Route 141 at Big Bend, those traffic lights are not working, so use caution as you roll up on that approach. Aubuchon has restrictions from Missouri Bottom all the way to Tucson as a result of flooding. And Mason at 40, look for those traffic lights to be on red flash. They're not working at this hour, as well as Route 367 to St. Cyr. Those traffic lights are also on red flash and not working, so use caution when you roll up to those approaches. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800 to donate and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800 to donate for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800, the number 2, donate, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. Now looking at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, light rain or drizzle is expected until late this morning. Then a chance for showers, isolated thunderstorms by this afternoon, a high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 71 and clouds as well. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
How can we get along with our coworkers? After all, workers spend a large part of their lives together, so it's like having a second family. Here's some general advice from the Employee Assistance Program at Capital Region Medical Center in Jefferson City. Be reliable. Be honest. Help people out when you can. Be pleasant. Smile. Greet people by name. Use a pleasant tone of voice. Be courteous. Try not to interrupt people while they're working. Stay out of gossip. Don't say negative things about people when they're not around. Remember that everyone has off days. Treat coworkers and customers the way you like to be treated, and be willing to go the extra mile. If conflict erupts and doesn't get better, consult with a supervisor. If you have an employee assistance program, use it. Professionals in those programs have experience in helping to resolve workplace conflicts. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, come on, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, come on, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, please get to the website at LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. Or you can email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. You need to get in on this show. You need to get in on this discussion. You need to get in on these issues. We are now taking calls from our callers as we talk about the issue of race and race in our fire departments. What is happening in the city of St. Louis? What is happening all across the country? Check out the website. I encourage you to do so because we have a photograph of a T-shirt with a caricature, a racist caricature of the current fire chief, the only black fire chief on it. And during the break, I received a note that appears to be a letter from Michael Stroud, a retired firefighter, member of Local 77, to the firefighters saying, "Dear firefighters, in response to their to the T-shirt, the T-shirts has been overwhelming. Hopefully there will be some new color selections to choose from coming soon. There has even been some interest from firefighters in other departments." What that says about where we are as a society, what that says about where we are as a fire department, what that says about where we are in terms of race. Check if you want to see what the T-shirt looks like. Go to my website, LizBrown.com. It's there on the front page of it. We're going to take some
Liz,
other calls.
Can I say something before we...
Sure.
With regard to that, the things that we've been discussing today, the issues...
And this is Paul David, president of Local Firefighter 73. Go right ahead.
You know, the historical perspective, like I was stating earlier, the things that have occurred, everything mentioned so far occurred prior to my 10 years as president, and I'm trying to pass the olive branch and try to do something a little different. But something kind of offended me, and that is last night when I saw on your blogitude, with the picture of the T-shirt, was the caption underneath it. Went to a Klan rally, and all I got was this T-shirt.
Well, the title of the blog was "We went to a Klan rally and all we got was this lousy T-shirt."
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like we've been discussing, and we've been discussing the historical perspective and the things that have occurred. That's something that happened yesterday.
What did?
The notation under the picture about going to a Klan rally. Because I'm going to challenge you that I don't think you probably got that at a Klan rally, and I think for my members. Mm-hmm. And for the white firefighters on the St. Louis Fire Department, I don't think any of them belong to the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And I think it's offensive to even suggest that.
Well, here's the thing. And the reason why I did, I thought it was clever. I thought it was kind of funny. And the reason I made the connection of it is because the picture, as we've discussed earlier, and as if you've even said earlier, that it was offensive. That it is not something that you would wear. It is not something that you think your members should wear. It is a racist caricature. So to make the connection of a racist caricature to the Klan is a natural linkage. And I don't think that there's any other linkage that you could make to a racist act than the Klan. And the thing did not to suggest, well, and I don't know. I don't know. It just says, you said you didn't know about what happened with the, what's handing out of the plaques. You weren't there. I don't know if a member of the Klan put the, put together that t-shirt. I don't know if a member of the Klan is wearing that t-shirt, and neither do you. And it seems to me the easiest way to deal with this is to say, you know what? We don't want anything associated with any of our firefighters that suggests at all any kind of racism, any kind of racist act, or any possibility of the linkage to a racist organization. It seems to me that a person that would put out a t-shirt like that, and now we're seeing that y'all are going to be trying to make, that some folks are going to try to be making money off of these t-shirts, is that's dead up Klan stuff. That's dead up Klan stuff. So that's why I made the analogy, and that's why I made the linkage. And I don't see why anybody would take offense to that, because I'm not saying that the good firefighters are wearing the t-shirt. I'm saying that the bad firefighters are wearing this racist t-shirt.
But the connotation was there was that, that you had went to a Klan rally, or that someone went to a Klan rally.
Mm-hmm. And got a t-shirt.
And got a racist t-shirt.
And I just think that
the connotation or even the suggestion.
It's a racist t-shirt. Where else do you get racist t-shirts but at a Klan rally?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just wanted to make the point.
Okay.
That, I mean, and my point is, you know, like I said earlier, we can continue to talk about things that have happened and things that are happening, or we can start working on solutions to the problems. Anybody can sit around a room and talk about problems. But it takes something.
We haven't even gotten to that
place yet. So let's get to a point where we can start talking to solutions.
But, Paul, we haven't even gotten to the place where we're sitting around the table talking about problems. If you didn't know, as the president of this organization, about what happened to one of the most horrific thing that's happened to this fire department, that the death of those two firefighters, if you didn't know that your organization dissed her in this way, then we need to talk. Folks need to be talking about stuff. We can't be running from the past saying that we don't need to talk about it anymore. We don't need to keep talking about it. We haven't talked about it. You didn't know it.
And that's
because your people haven't been talking to you. And your people haven't been talking, or your people didn't see anything wrong with it. That's because the words were not used and the talking did not take place. Talking needs to take place.
That's why I'm here.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Adam Long, and I'm a battalion chief of the St. Louis Fire Department, and I happen to be African-American. I was also the incident commander at the tragic fire in May of 2002 where both Derek and Rob gave their lives. I was also at the ceremony at Engine House 1 that Wayne spoke of. And, hello?
Yes,
Hello?
That's on your end.
Okay. And, yes, it did happen. I was there. It's common knowledge now that on that night, conditions in the building got to be very bad. And by me being the incident commander, it was my responsibility to make sure that our men were safe. And I asked that the building be evacuated. Once the building was evacuated, we did a member accountability roll call, and it was then that I found out that Derek was missing. And, not Derek, but Rob was missing, and Derek was out of the building. Derek went back in the building to get Rob. So, it's common knowledge that this has happened, and if 73 wanted to do something to rectify the wrong that was done at that particular ceremony, then they should have acknowledged what Derek did. There was an organization that gave Angie a check for $25,000, I think about a year after Derek and Rob's death, acknowledging his act of heroism. Local 73 has yet to acknowledge what Derek did. Derek and Rob had a closeness that nobody seems to talk about. They had a lot in common, but Derek and Rob were close. And nobody talks about that. You know, nobody talks about the fact that, you know, they played basketball together. You know, they would sit at the dinner table with me and Captain Gary Ruffin, who was the captain on the rescue squad, and Derek and Rob were always the ones that played cards against us. When they died, there was a ceremony in which Derek and Rob were promoted posthumously to the rank of captain. At one of the ceremonies after their death, the mayor promised Angie and Laura that they would be compensated as if their husbands were actually captains. There was a bill introduced to the Board of Aldermen, you know, to get that compensation for those families. And it was because of a couple of riders or something that Local 73 attached to those bills that it got stalled in the Board of Aldermen. And to this day, Angie and Laura and their families have yet to be compensated because of that. And I'd like for Paul to speak to that, if he may.
Thank you so much, Adam.
You're quite welcome.
Not wanting to speak for the mayor, I'll let him speak for himself. But I can tell you the circumstances surrounding. Well, first of all, let me go to the first part of the conversation when you talked about Derek going in and gave his life going in after Rob. That is 100% accurate. And I stated earlier that we have over 800 firefighters on this job, and I think that 800 firefighters would do the same thing. We go in, we protect each other. We're putting our lives on the line for each other. Fighting a fire is the most equivalent thing is on-duty combat in the military. I mean, we rely on each other. And this was a situation that occurred, race notwithstanding, that one brother gave his life for another. Now, with regards to the pension benefit or the issue regarding the mayor's statement, I think it was...
And the award from Local 73 for the specific heroism of Derek.
Right. The Chief Long spoke about that the mayor had promised both widows that the two captains would receive the benefits of a captain. It was a situation, it was an emotional time, it was an emotional event. The mayor was probably thinking at the time that this would be something that would be easy for the city to do. Changing our pension benefits is a five-step process. We have to get it passed in the House and the Senate, and the governor has to sign it. In addition, we have to bring it back. The Board of Aldermen has to pass it, and the mayor has to sign it. When you pass bills like that, you have to have an actuarial study to determine what the cost is. And when it came back from Jeff City and introduced into the Board of Aldermen and the actuaries got involved to determine what the cost of the benefit would be, it was deemed to, you know, on the city's end, the city did not pass the bill because it was too costly for the city to pass such a that resolution or that pension benefit. The city and the financial struggles that they're in, our pension system, the police department pension system recently sued the city of St. Louis because of lack of contributions, and we have approximately $30 million settlement against the city of St. Louis for our pension systems for monies that are owed us for the benefits that we have. And this benefit would have added to that cost, and so the city chose not to, you know, the city chose not to try to get that benefit passed, putting the city in more financial hardship. You know, I mean,
let's talk about something that doesn't cost any money. Let's talk about the issue of Local 73 and the issuance of the award that Adam talked about, that Derek didn't get as being the person that went in and got Rob.
Local 73 is, that I'm aware of, we've never given anybody an award for anything, you know, with regards to that. Any of the award ceremonies, the things that exist, every October we have an awards mass, and all that is done through the fire department.
Let's get to some of our other calls. Greg, you have a question or comment?
I have a few comments, and I got a question for Wayne, if you'd let me go through them, then I'll hang up. My first comment is, on the plaque issue, I haven't heard anything about it either.
Right? Are you a firefighter, Greg?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay.
And if Adam said it happened, then it happened. But I'd like to...
Not if Wayne said.
I'd like to comment on the plaque issue. And here's my comment. This is a hard, like Paul said, this is a hard question to answer because both these, great firefighters are now dead. But what I'd like to say was, when they were alive, Derek had every opportunity to join Local 73. Mm. I had numerous conversations with him about that, and I had numerous conversations with him about your show because I've called before. Mm. Now, if you don't want to join, then that's fine. That's his, that's his prerogative. But Rob had no opportunity to join fire because of his skin color. Now, the second comment I want to make.
But wait a minute. Let's get back to the first.
I'll make my comment, and then I'll hang up, and I'll let.
I need some clarity on your comment. That's why I need to get back to your comment. So if I'm understanding you right, you accurately, Greg, you're saying that it's Derek's fault that he didn't get a plaque from 73 because he didn't join 73?
No, that is not what I'm saying. If Local 73 probably should have gave him one.
You think?
Because fire gave them one, and that's fine. And they should have done that, and they didn't, and I'm sorry about that. But...
Well, you didn't say that. This is the first time you said that, so I appreciate you saying that now.
I'm sorry about that. They should have. Uh-huh. Derek was a friend of mine. Now, but on the other hand, when they were alive, the situation was different. Because of his skin color, he couldn't even join fire.
So
that's my comment, and I'll let them guys discuss it. Okay. My second comment is... I had a meeting with Marty Abusi some years ago, right after the selection of fire chief had taken place, and Marty Abusi asked me as a regular firefighter in his office, he said, hey, what do you think about the selection of, Sherman George's chief? And my comment was, well, I think we should go down the list, that person for the job, that's my personal stance, and Local 73 stance. We should go right down the list, the best person for the job. He told me that the number one candidate didn't want a transfer policy. The number two candidate hadn't been on the track for some 10, 15 years, so he didn't have the experience of fire grounds. And the number three candidate wanted a transfer policy. So I believe, since what Marty Abusi told me, that the main reason why Sherman George was picked because of this transfer policy. And once he gets picked, if he wants to go against the transfer policy, it seems odd to me that anybody can say anything when they get the job, and then as soon as they get it, if they're just going to go back on what they said, then...
Well, Greg, let me ask you two questions, quick questions before we go, because we have to take a break.
Sure.
Were you an elected official of 73 when you were sitting in the office with Marty Abusi?
No, ma'am.
So why would Marty Abusi share with you that kind of information?
He asked me a question.
I know, but he shared with you really, really private information. So my question, I'm just wondering if a black person could have walked into Marty Abusi's office and gotten that kind of intimate information about what was going on in the fire department. Why would he give that information to you? Who are you? For him to give you that kind of private information about who was on one and, what the first one had, what the second one had, and what the third one had.
I'm not a mind reader, Ms. Brown, but I do know that he told me that information.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Thanks for your call, Greg. It's kind of interesting that white folks can walk into Marty Abusi's office and get all this information.
I think that's very interesting.
Isn't that very interesting? He's not even an elected official. Marty Abusi is telling him all his business.
I think it makes the point of what we've been talking about. And I know what he was trying to get to as far as Rob being a member.
He needed
to be listening in 6 hours.
Hold that thought. We'll be back to discuss that. But dang, all he had to do was walk in the office and Marty just said, tell me what you need to know, and he gives it to him. Ain't that something? My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
The 14th Annual Missouri Black Expo 2005 Quest for Success returns to America Center this Saturday and Sunday, featuring programs on youth development, health and community development, plus the University of Missouri St. Louis Lecture Series panel discussion titled Black America Today, moderated by the Honorable Freeman Bosley, Jr. This year's panel includes Dick Gregory, comedian and civil rights activist, Dr. Julia Hare, founder Black Think Tank, George Curry, editor-in-chief, National Newspaper Association, Dr. Ben Chavis, founder, Million Man March, Patricia Russell McLeod, author and motivational speaker, Al Dotson Esquire, chairman of 100 Black Men of America, Incorporated, Omar Tyree, New York Times best-selling author, Dr. Lynn Beckwith, endowed professor of education at UM St. Louis, and Dr. Joshua Murphree, professor, Albany State University, creator of 100 Black Men Miracles of Mentoring program. The panel discussion takes place this Saturday as part of the Missouri Black Expo 2005 Quest for Success at America Center. General admission, $8. Children under 6 are free. Call 361-5772 or go to www.missouriblackexpo.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Lucille Mitchell from the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. Every Sunday morning at 9, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present a unique ministry that couples teaching and the Word of God to insights that will help you with everyday living. We deal with the areas concerning health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. And I think you will find every program is full of information you can use in your own life. Please listen to the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast every Sunday morning at 9, right here on Radio 920 WGNU.
Charles Gear and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
A summer morning is a good time to see turtles and snakes basking in the sun in their native habitat. See them at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Saturday, August 20th from 8 to 11 a.m. Join us for a 2.5-mile hike on the levees at Marais Thames Square to view the reptiles through spotting scopes provided by MDC. Register by calling 636-441-4554. Something for you from WGNU. Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Captain Wayne Lester, Vice Chairman of Fire, Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Firefighters, Local 73, and we're talking about the issues of race in the St. Louis City Fire Department. Wayne, one of the callers that called, Greg, called, and he made the comment that, well, white people can't join fire, and black people can join Local 73. Is that an argument that is significant or meaningful to you?
It's not significant or meaningful, but to address it, I think if he was listening to the 6 o'clock hour, we gave the history of why we are separated.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't acts on our part. It was acts on the local part. And now we're at a place where, and if you look at it, it's a common sense approach. Why would you join an organization that is hell-bent on destroying you? And everywhere we go around this city, we have politicians, we have leaders of organization asking fire to become a part of the local. Now it's a matter of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing $250,000 annually that they are not getting from our members.
is an economic reason. And Mr. Hughes told you that. We're getting the same benefits, and we will. We're willing to pay a fair share according to the collective bargaining rules. That's something that I question. I don't even know if they have an agreement with the city. The last I spoke, when I spoke with Mr. Franks about the agreement, the meet and confer, he told me that they had an agreement on the table since December, and this local hadn't signed it. He didn't know what they were going to do,
if
they were
going
to sign it or not.
And Paul, what do you say to that?
Well,
it's not. It hasn't been signed, and it hasn't been signed since December.
Since December.
The issue that Wayne talked about, I mean, he said that we're hell-bent on destroying them. That is not the case. Local 73 is a Democratic-run organization. And I started to make the comparison with Congress and the Senate. As a Democratic organization, you work from within. You make the changes from inside the organization. And if you're not inside the organization, if somebody else wants to try to tell this union what we should try to do, you know, and they're outside a firefighter, they're not a firefighter, they're another organization or another person, we're not going to listen to them.
But we're talking, about white and black and firefighters. We're not talking about people outside of what it is that you do. We're talking about firefighters. We're talking about black firefighters that say that you're an organization that supports, condones, or doesn't say anything negative about T-shirts with racist caricatures on them. You're an organization that is against affirmative action. You're an organization that takes their members' dues to fight affirmative action. You're an organization that never filed a lawsuit to make certain that the black people that live in the city are represented in the fire department. You're an organization that is opposed to, has protested against a fire chief in a personal way that no fire chief has ever been protested against before in the city of St. Louis. So this is black, white firefighters. Why should black firefighters join an organization that has done things 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and is doing things this year that are contrary to the issues of black people?
If a white fire chief would have made the same decisions, we had the same arguments that the current fire chief had, we would have picketed, we would have...
Never picketed the last fire chief that didn't have
the issue involved
transfer policy that this one has. You never picketed his house.
We never picketed.
I mean, well,
we never picketed.
You never picketed him.
We never picketed Chief George's house.
I didn't mean to say that. You didn't picket. Okay. You have picketed.
When the pickets came up, when we put pickets up last summer, it was over the issue of promotions. Had the former fire chief not made the promotions that should be made? I mean, and when the Department of Personnel in April of 2004 certified a list for promotions, we were 8 captains short, 2 battalion chiefs short. We have an agreed-to pay ordinance that calls for 115 captains, 19 battalion chiefs. If we're under 115 captains, we only have 107, we're 8 captains short. Right now, we're 15 captains short because the fire chief refuses to make promotions. That's what we were protesting. That's why we were out in front of headquarters. That's why we were out in front of City Hall. I don't care if the fire chief is white, black, red, brown, or green.
But
if he's not making the promotion,
Paul, people make that argument all the time. I don't care if people are red, black, and there aren't any green people, so we need to talk about that. We're talking about black people and white people, and the letters that your organization has sent out has dealt with the color of people like me. It said, Northside is going to be doing this. We're not doing anything that Northside is doing. We're going to be voting for Francis Lay, but Northside is going to be voting for this. You don't want to vote like Northside is voting. Northside means black people. That's about black people. It's not about green people. It's not about white people. It's about black people and about what black people want and about what white people don't want. In the city of St. Louis, the race of Francis Lay and Irene J. Smith was a race about race. It was a race about what black people want and what white people want. And your organization on its letterhead said to your white members, don't let Northside black people win this. We have got to win this. That's about race.
It's about politics. It's about race, but it's about politics.
But it's a, let's talk about the race
about,
part of it. Let's talk,
but let's
about,
talk
the
about the politics
the
part.
The politics of it is easy. We're not talking about the politics of it. We're talking about the race part of it, because your organization could have just as easily said, vote for Francis Slay because we want Francis Slay, and not made it a race issue. But your organization made it a race and a politics issue, and that brings us back to the place where we began. Why should black people want to be part of an organization that makes race an issue and race to the detriment of black people? I mean, that's crazy to ask black people to pay dues to an organization that is hell-bent on engaging in behavior that is to the not to the interests of black people.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you make the changes from within. And if our organization is making wrong decisions and our policies and our procedures are wrong, or if they're against African Americans, I have African Americans. First of all, I have African Americans in my local, and I'm going to quote one of my members.
One of your 10 members out of a 400 member organization.
And this member stated, he said, look, I believe, personally, my thought is, I believe FIRE made a mistake when they formed their own association and dropped out of Local 73. And his premise is that through the 40s, 50s, and 60s, during the civil rights struggles, African Americans in this country were struggling to be included. They were struggling to get into the Congress. They were struggling to get... Well, and we took a desegregated organization and made it segregated.
Paul, you don't see that you...
Wait a minute, Paul.
You have a black man that is saying to you that I should trust an organization and be part of an organization that did nothing to make more of me... More black firefighters. You're gonna listen to the words of one man, out of if this is a democratic society and we're based on numbers and all of that, there are 390 black firefighters and paramedics that say we are really glad that fire is here, and all of the thousands of family members that are attached to those 390 something people. You quote me one pitiful little man that is in an organization, and he's saying that it was better off before fire. That's crazy.
Here's a black man. Can I speak as a black man that's benefited from the efforts of fire? First of all, you got to understand, because there are black firefighters, they impact the community on annually, $25 million strong. That means we buy houses, buy cars, the whole nine. And it's because we have a job. And it was because of fire going to court, teaming up with the NAACP to help fund the battles to get us 50-50 hiring. 73, the city, fire, entered into a consent decree that would allow 50% hiring rate, black and white. Now, when it came time for that to end, we suggested that we continue because it's good for the city. And if you look at the city is 51, 52, 53, some would argue even higher, black, and as far as the population. So why wouldn't 73 agree to continue the consent decree? Why wouldn't the city continue the consent decree? The issue becomes then, do I join an organization? And this is the philosophy, not of just Wayne Luster, but it's the philosophy of the members of FIRE. Why would I join an organization and pay into an organization that's going to kick me in my behind and eventually kick me out the door? It doesn't make sense. A sane person wouldn't do that. What's the bigger issue, which I think Greg hit upon, and I know Greg probably won't believe me, is Greg is a private. And he's in the director's office. Let's let that sink in for a minute. You have privates going to the mayor. You have privates going to the director. You have privates calling the deputy mayor and requesting things over the appointing authority.
Mm.
They are disregarding the expert in the St. Louis Fire Department that has over 30 years of experience. Why do we have a black caucus? Why do we have a black board of aldermen caucus? Why do we have these national organizations for the interests of black folks?
But they are also part of the umbrella organization. The Congressional Black Caucus did not get out of Congress. The NAACP has not limited their membership to African American members. NAACP opens their membership to everybody. coalitions need to be built, and we need to start getting to the root of the problem and start coming to solutions to the problem. And our international and my local, and I brought for you, Liz, to share on our international website, www.iaff.org, under our human relations issue, okay, our international president realizes that there is a problem, nationwide. And last November in Memphis, Tennessee, he called together all of the African-American presidents of our international locals. In April of this year, Johnny Brewington, the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters president, had a meeting in Washington, D.C. with Harold Schaeberger.
I need you to hold that thought. Hold that thought because we're 3 minutes over our break. We've got to take a break here. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Captain Wayne Lester, Vice Chair of Fire, and also Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Firefighters Local 73. We'll get to some of your calls. We'll get to some more of our discussion. I told you I'd get to the calls. We'll get to your calls. Stay with us.
So hard to find
Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's the Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubick, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri. 63108.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated, the birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
To find out the answer to that long-standing question, ask the doc. Dr. Pat, that is. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to noon, call in and talk to Dr. Pat about whatever's on your mind. So if you're wondering, what's up, doc? Find out for 2 hours every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon with Dr. Pat here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. I am here with Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Firefighter Local 73, Captain Wayne Lester, Vice Chairman of Fire, and we've got to get to some of these calls. Let me get to some of these calls here. Let's try Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Outstanding.
I'd like to talk to the captain. You know, I used to be a union organizer, and that problem you have very, very few very, very few unions have affirmative action program inside their contract. And I used to advocate that black people need to separate from almost all unions, even the United Auto Workers, because it's so bad with United Auto Workers that black people file unfair labor practices on the union because they won't represent them in discrimination suits. So you would be out of your mind to merge with a white union. All of them are having problems. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call.
Can I say something, Liz? All we got to do is ask ourselves, and Paul here, he's the president, he can answer this question. How many black of those 10 members you have, how many of them hold an office or ever held an office? Not only that, you've got to look at history, because when we look at this, we talk about integration, and to the detriment almost, integration has hurt us in a respect. Where are our black banks? Where are our black grocery stores?
Local black schools.
Where are the black schools at? When you integrate, and this is their approach, they want to absorb us and eliminate us.
And then take the money from them.
Exactly.
Paul, let me let Paul jump in
here. I was just going to say, Kevin, the last caller, talked about the United Auto Workers, and I just find it odd that he would bring up the United Auto Workers. In 1963, the Civil Rights March in Washington, D.C., if you look at the picture of Martin Luther King, you'll see Walter Reuther, who's the former international president of the United Auto Workers of America. Labor was behind that march. A. Phillips Randolph.
Marching in the march is one thing. It's doing the do after the march. And nobody, I mean, everybody wants to hold up pictures of people saying, I was with Martin Luther King at the time. This is 2005.
This is
the
2005.
Issue is that, and the same issues that Martin Luther King was marching against back in 1960-something exist today, no matter who was standing there marching next to him.
And the same, and I agree with what Julian Bond said. The Civil Rights March and labor unions, we have a lot in common. When you're cut, I bleed. And like I said, that's why I came on this show. The issues that have been brought up occurred prior to me taking over as president of this organization. Now that I am the president, we are having communications. We're having a talk show. When was the last time in the city of St. Louis that you had the two organizations sitting down and talking and discussing the problems? And we've got to, I want to do more than discussing the problems. I want to reach solutions to the
call
problem.
For the forum. I agree with you, Paul. We ought to look for solutions. And we can call for a official forum right now from the Board of Aldermen. Fine 73 to the citizens of St. Louis, to the mayor, to the Director of Public Safety, everyone. We're saying we want a public forum from the Board of Aldermen, independent of everybody, to look at the issues that's going on in the St. Louis Fire Department. You agree, don't you, Paul?
We have a forum set up. Dr. Buford, Dr. Suggs, the Urban League. We've had two meetings. It is an official forum.
That's not
the
official.
The NAACP set it up. The mayor appointed people, and we have, and
first of all, let's stop. NAACP did not set this up. It was the Black Leadership Roundtable. We had two meetings, and then when we start speaking from the heart, they stopped coming.
And the Black Leadership Roundtable wanted y'all to join the white union. That was their position. So, you have NAACP because the guy that said the NAACP got a gig on the Metropolitan on the sewer board. He has a job from Francis Slay. Yeah, you have the Urban League because the Urban League supports Francis Slay. Yeah, you have the St. Louis American because Donald Suggs didn't endorse Irene J. Smith and supports Francis Slay and supported Francis Slay School Board and gets money as a result of the connection that he has with this particular mayor and this particular administration. If you want an honest discussion and not a compromise discussion or not an agenda by individuals that are cutting deals with the administration that is against Sherman George, that told Sherman George to pay your own lawyer, that said we will change the rules of everything to get at Sherman George. If you want a meeting, if you want to have a forum, then have people that don't have an agenda and don't have an interest, have a public forum.
How about it, Paul?
It was Don Wolf, the fire chief's attorney, that was the past.
Let's deal with now. You want to go here and now?
Congressman Clay. Let's get Congressman Clay to help us out.
The Board of Aldermen. Do you want the public forum? Define solution.
I'm willing to sit down with anybody and everybody in this city and come to solution.
And as a show of good faith, make a statement that any firefighter that is wearing a racist caricature of the sitting fire chief will be reprimanded. That this is wrong and this is not something that your organization pushes. Can we have that?
Yes, you can have that.
Okay, let me get to some of our calls. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Chris.
Yes, ma'am. My question is, do you consider the Riverfront Times a racist publication?
At times, yes.
Okay, did you object to the caricature of the Riverfront Times? Because they're actually the ones who created it.
And also, there's a writer that created, a little black Sambo, there's a writer that created all of these racist caricatures, and the decision that we have as adults is whether or not we would select them or not. So this, your organization or your people went out and selected the most racist caricature and made it a T-shirt. And apparently, according to this note that I have from Mike Stroud, it's selling really well. And it's, racist stuff does sell well in the United States.
Well, ma'am, did you, if you're so opposed to the caricature T-shirt, did you go so far as to call the Riverfront Times or write the Riverfront Times and voice your concerns and objections to the caricature that was created by them?
I have not had an opportunity to voice my concern and write a letter for every single racist act that has occurred in this United States.
Well, you seem pretty offended by the T-shirt, therefore I am.
Aren't you offended by it?
Yes, ma'am, and okay. I had nothing to do with it.
Okay, have you written a letter?
No,
have you
ma'am,
voiced your
not.
Concern? Have you called the fire department to ask them to tell their members to stop wearing this racist T-shirt?
What I have done is I have too much going on in my personal life to take that issue up with myself.
But I'm supposed to.
Well, you're on the air, and you're harping on how offended you are by this.
But again, if the evidence of my offense is not whether I've called the Riverfront Times. The evidence of my offense is the fact that I am calling out the people who chose to replicate a racist caricature. And that's what this is about right now. This is calling out the people that have chosen to replicate it. And yes. That's outrageous.
Another comment I'd like to make, though, in reference to Greg and having a discussion with Marty Abusi. When Marty Abusi
We have 30 seconds here. I've got to thank my guests for coming on. Thank you. Thank you so much, Paul Davis, president of the Firefighters Local 73. Thank you for coming on. And Captain Wayne Lester, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
And maybe we'll do this again. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place, and we'll be checking to see if we all do what we say we're going to do. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Inflation spiked by half a percentage point last month, and analysts say you can put part of the blame squarely on higher gas prices. The automaker employee discounts helped sell a lot of cars, but there could be a backlash on the way, according to Kurt Barton.